You're listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, Green Lantern movie commentary.
All right, so this is Frank Mattel, the host of the Green Lantern Corecast. We are now your inside commentary for everything Green Lantern in this new extended cut for the Green Lantern movie. And, of course, I have my panel of executives here with me to give you all hosting entertainment. Eric, Kuhan, hey, Brandon, and Colton, of course. All of us are glorious extended scene of the DC logo showing up. How you guys doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm okay. How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, quite
so how
good.
Do we feel about the green? How do we feel about the green over the opening part there? Too obvious, or just kind of had to happen anyway?
I mean, they do it anyway. Like they've been doing it. It's, you know, consistent
coloring.
It has history.
So this, I feel like this CG sequence here, narrated by Jeffrey Rush at the last. I feel like this was created just for the 3D, 100%.
Well, yeah, this entire sequence. I mean, it's not bad. Seeing it in 3D in theaters and seeing it again now, it's not a bad sequence.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it. I didn't see it in 3D because I didn't think the 3D was worth it because it was up-converted. So I didn't watch it in 3D. So, but like, yeah, I thought it was fine in theaters. Not watching it in 3D.
Yeah, I saw it in 3D when I saw it because it was only playing in 3D.
Personally speaking, I didn't want to go for my first 3D movie to be Green Lantern just in case I didn't receive it too well.
First 3D movie, Jesus!
Not Avatar. What the hell? What's your problem?
The logo being the comic logo. I'm not really in love with because I think that's kind of a cheap looking logo.
I thought it was okay. And I think the comic
this is a
logo,
bit of an info dump for the opening. I think.
Yeah, it is. It is. I really didn't like this part right here. I'm sorry. The giant cosmos face of Abin Sur.
Fuzzy Abin Sur. Yeah. They could have just given us like a prologue or had us find the stuff out later. There's no reason we had to learn it like this. I think it would have been more interesting. I think it would be more interesting to enter the story here.
When have we ever given a crap about Abin Sur?
This is a giant scene that no one really understands.
I did think it was really strange. Well, I mean, because unless you read the prequel comics. Yeah, I read the prequel comics, and I'm like, oh yeah, hey.
But even this, I think this context, there's enough context here to understand what happened. They say our ship crashed, and we're just going to look around and stuff. From what I understand, this was also added last minute. This is where a lot of the money at the end of the shoot went to. I know we all know that a lot of money was pumped into this movie the last couple weeks of production, and apparently this entire sequence is what most of the money went to.
It was this and the mask. Well, it's really strange to me because this looks like it's out of a DreamWorks movie. Like, not even a Pixar movie, a DreamWorks movie.
It's a little wompy.
I mean, I can't say that. I mean, I like the animation that's going on here. I mean, the animation here is pretty strong.
I mean, no, the animation is strong for a DreamWorks film, yeah. Like for an animated movie, it's quite strong, but like it looks out of place in a live action movie in the theater.
You haven't seen anybody live action yet, though.
I know, which is why I'm like, did I walk into a DreamWorks production or like is this the wrong? Did I make the wrong movie? But no, it's had Green Lantern just now.
I thought it was great in theaters.
So here's our first glimpse of Parallax, or the villain that we're not supposed to know who is yet.
Of Chronalax. Yeah,
you know, we get something about fear. We get skeletons being pulled out of bodies. Now we get Final Fantasy Spirits Within.
Am I the only one who's saddened by the dialogue coming directly from MK versus DCU?
Yes.
Well, no, because you don't want to play that game, apparently.
Yeah.
Good. I like this. I like the face and the Chrono breaking out. It looks a little cheap. But it's kind of like
great until he turned into the cloud.
I think it looks kind of cheapy, but I think it's cool because you're really reveling in the special effects here.
It looks a lot like Steel
Giant
Bull.
Head. That's bad.
Yeah. Rawr, so mad. Yeah. Space oh, face.
Oh, God. It's a villain from the Fern Gully.
Hey, look, it's Earth.
Yeah, you're right.
This way, like they couldn't even use like a stock photo of the Earth. Like they put it in Photoshop. Or something.
It's one of those things. It clues you into like the fact that it's a photo, but it's also kind of like a little too clear for a photo. So this is the first and I think the only real new sequence in this entire movie.
1993. That's when I was born.
Ew.
This is 5. So those who've never seen the movie before.
Introduced the little Harold Jordan.
Harold Jordan. Who can get over the fact that somebody would call themselves Hal in 1993? But
that didn't make sense to me at all. But
and it's interesting because I remember one of my big complaints about the movie when it came out was that there were no mothers in it, and now you find out that even in the extended cut there really aren't any mothers in it. Hal's mother is silent and just kind of sobbing off screen, and that's about all she does. You know, she makes some judgmental eyes at him later after not having aged.
To be fair, her character is all just Jack, and Jack had all of 30 seconds of the movie, so.
I was going to say, like, it's a matter of why. This is the first kind of clue that this movie's real problem is, you know? Because it's bringing a lot of interest. It's bringing a lot of stuff that it thinks are interesting because it's seen it done in other movies, but it's not giving you any kind of real emotional context for it, you know? Like, this scene is kind of just reiterating. This is just reiterating information, because in the original cut, we just get the flashbacks of Hal's dad crashing and stuff, and I don't see anything in this that really adds to any of that besides just kind of having it take a little longer to get there, you know?
So I would like to see something in this cut, maybe, like, they cut out the scenes that you see in the flashback or something like that. You see the scene, right before, right after, and then you see in the flashback, like, oh my god, look, he was okay, then he blew up, and it's supposed to just he blew up.
So, and then in all fairness, yeah, exactly, right, because then... That would be nice, yeah. Just some kind of context for because the plane crash that Hal has later is obviously cut to the flashback.
So there's a little Warner Brothers plug-in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marvin the Martian.
Well, it's implying that Hal likes space too, which is something that have no sense of later in the film.
That his dad that he gives
and Mike Piazza,
and Mike Piazza. Yes.
I'm disappointed that there's no Duck Dodgers.
You know, that's a little weird. Being a Mets fan all the way in California.
Yeah, in California of Coast City, yeah.
Look at this mother silently wearing with her Lay's potato. She's washing her Lay's potato chips.
Because screaming.
Yeah, look at it's the
silent.
It's the Kennedys.
Bye.
No, by the way, Colton Duck Dodgers. That would be stupid because it wasn't around 1993. So
this is definitely probably one of the most interesting bits of characterization that Hal gets in the movie. That he, you know, looks like he's racing for the bus, and he's not. That's a pretty good joke.
Yeah, but, I like that.
That's about the only thing I got out of this flashback.
At first I'm like, oh, maybe they cut the sock. It felt too much like Spider-Man.
How many school buses just drive by while the kids are screaming like maniacs?
Lots of
all
them.
The ones in the movies.
All of them.
This guy works the all the time. He's a little bit too much mustache dye. I got a little distracted.
How do we now?
It's like, oh,
and then we find out why
Jordan
his dad died.
I like how all these other adults are just smiling at him.
Yeah, they're used to it. It's like cliche. It's actually absolutely
normal.
It's a stereotype. That's why they don't give us a lot of background for this.
No, guys, that's what it was like in 1993. Don't you remember?
Yeah, 1993. There's a lot of test pilots and. Yes. I think this scene proves why Hal's dad actually crashed, because he didn't care much for education, so he probably didn't actually know how to pilot the plane. He saw like the altimeter going all over the place. He's like, what the fuck is that? Numbers and words?
He just dropped out of high school like, fuck it, you know, I could fly a plane. And then he goes to fly the plane.
He spelled safe wrong.
I'm not gonna lie.
I like this kid.
I do kind of like this kid.
He's got a charming face.
He's got a pretty little eyes, pretty little chin. That's about it, though. I guess I'm glad they resisted the...
He looks like a proper 10-year-old boy.
Do you ever watch a movie like this where characters...
Not like Damien.
A character is so color-oriented and wonder why he's wearing blue shirts. Like, shouldn't you be wearing green shirts? Maybe I just watched Smallville for 10 years, so I'm just used to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, even in like some of the JLA comics, like, they'd be out of costume, and now Wally's wearing a red shirt.
Yeah. So this is the scene that, quote-unquote, adds the backstory to Hector, which basically just – instead of waiting halfway through the movie to find out they all knew each other for their whole lives, which takes away from the story, not adds to it.
Can we dissect this scene as itself before comparing it to what we saw in the theater?
Product placement.
If we take this
– the hair dye is terrible.
What, 8 minutes so far? If we take these first 8 minutes I think we got a solid, nice extension right now.
No, I agree. Like you know, not comparing it to what we already had. You know, like this adds something to something that comes later on, as opposed to like, oh yeah, but we were gonna get it later on anyway. But yeah, but like when we got it later on, it was like, oh, it's just happening. Like, yes, it doesn't add anything we didn't already know, but we already knew it because we saw the movie.
Right. Yeah, but technically speaking, I think these scenes are kind of weak because they don't give you anything. I mean, Hal and his dad, it's nice to have context besides the random context we get during the plane crash and stuff. But otherwise, it's kind of like, what does this scene really add that, you know, you haven't seen before? And the characters are all hitting the beach you expect them to hit. Well, and it's kind of like, you can see why it was cut, because it's really – now the movie trimmed to fat a little bit. Look at that guy's face. The movie trimmed to fat a little bit too much. But this is very superfluous, and all the hair are special effects are terrible and stuff. But
I do like this cheesy like Toy Story sounding music. By the way, Toy Story 1.
Such a waste. You know, like,
soundtrack by Randy Newman.
I like to see the Top Gun going on. Every all this time. Top Gun going on right now.
I expected more jets in this movie.
There's no jets in this movie whatsoever. There's like such a little.
I expected more Top Gun.
Yeah, I expect, I mean, that's what they kept referencing. They said it's Top Gun, but with aliens. And
there's no Top Gun-y at all in this movie. Nobody feels needs for speeds at all. There's no.
And it is.
I'm sure they meant to have a Val Kilmer camera there. And it's like, man, he's like really fat right now.
I don't see Goose.
This is terrible. This is the best. He thumbs up who? Who are you thumbing up there, buddy? Just like.
Oh, awesome. There goes the plane.
Apparently his thumb hit the self-destruct button.
Yes, I would have preferred. I mean, I hate it in the comic, but I would have preferred maybe a little bit of a context here where he's like, "I'm trying not to crash into the audience and stuff." This just seems like it's crashing, you know?
Yeah, he definitely had zero control over that plane.
He's not near anyone. He can just eject.
There's definitely because it was in the comics. It was a whole thing. He's like, "I can't eject. Well, cause I'm trying to pilot away."
Right, but like, yeah. At this point, there's nobody here, and he's just not ejecting. And like, even right now, he could eject, or he's taking
this is a good cut because I like that the dad is like doesn't act like he's okay, just getting out, and then he explodes. It's maybe the only angle they could take on this that wouldn't seem like something he'd seen before.
He's taking his sweet ass time getting out of the plane. Like, hey son, what up? And like, yeah, he doesn't expect the plane to explode, but he's just taking a sweet ass time getting out, like not just getting out as quick as possible, because you know.
Hal's face does not look upset. He's kind of like resigned. He's like, "Oh, I was upset a second ago, and then I felt better, and I'm still upset. All right, fine. That was just kind of a waste of 30 seconds of my life."
I mean, there's only a certain amount of
time. 10-year-old beats the rescue people to the
action. This looks awesome. This scene here actually is the best looking scene in the whole movie, which is hilarious considering it wasn't in the
fire.
No, most of the movie takes place in this kind of dank, invisible darkness and just to hide the special effects and stuff. And this has no problem how glorious the middle of the day and fire and explosion. These awesome
I just told you this. I really enjoyed this scene from the bus. Fine. I mean, from
look
the
at all the Transformers again. The death,
I thought it was great.
Help them rawhide. it doesn't really.
Yeah, that's right. It makes
sense. It's
like
everything else in the movie. It's too long. Like, you know, this movie, you get about halfway through it and you get tired of it, you know, because you don't mind how kind of like limbless.
Meanwhile, thousands of miles away.
How limbless and toothless it is.
That was like the most seamless transition we're going to get in the movie.
Meanwhile, in space.
It is kind of like funny how the context of this movie don't seem to matter. Like the opening is just like random info dump, and then we get some kind of random flashback of like a little kid. It reminds me of Red Lanterns number one. You know, we're just like, what are these people doing in this story? Meanwhile, this is an awesome looking spaceship.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I think a spaceship is pretty cool.
Really? I don't like
why
it.
Why is he in a spaceship right now?
Explain it.
They explain it. Like, shut up, whatever, Colton. Like,
but how big is that
right now?
Now, it's a big ship. It's certainly not big enough to evacuate an entire planet. It must be a really small planet. Well, now we get into what I like. My favorite thing about the movie is the design of the lanterns. I think they need a little bit less green, which seems random. They should have a little bit more white to kind of counterbalance it and stuff like the comics do. But
does everybody like the hologram as much as I do?
It looks cool that it's pixelated. I don't like that nobody seems to tell Mark Strong where to look. He's kind of looking off the left of Abinsur's shoulder, or like he doesn't realize he's being shot by the camera.
Well, maybe Abinsur just
I don't really like the. I don't really like the pixelization of Sinestro's, like, you know, hologram, just because it's the most powerful weapon in the universe.
That's really far
on
away.
This thing at all.
I like how right there, like, it was a flash of him being yellow. It's kind of cool.
I'm colorblind, so I can't tell. Abinsur makes it cool if you can't see his teeth. So the fact when he opens his mouth kind of ruins it. You know, it looks cool, looks real until he starts to move, and then you notice it. This is an awesome take here. Where
danger's coming.
This was Jango Fett played Abinsur, right? The guy who played Jango Fett.
Yeah, actually, that's his real name. The actor's name is Jango.
No, yeah, that's what I thought. I knew that. His name is Jango.
And this is where he shows off his special, how great he is with the ring that we hear so much shit talked about him by just blasting it.
I'm just standing there, quiet.
The Justice League cartoon did better with his ring.
I like this because this is visceral and kind of hits hard and stuff. And some of the stuff that Martin Campbell is actually good at directing, and how a lot of the action sequences come off as kind of stiff and awkward in this. And this is probably the best, which is funny because it's about 12 seconds long.
I think if you look at the little bits in it, like as soon as Sinestro hit the ground, he was ready to shoot again. As soon as he gets knocked to the ground, he realized he's hurt. He needs to get out of there. I think that shows a lot of Abensur that we don't get in the comics.
Well, the thing is, he's so completely overpowered that he's just trying to like survive for the second, and then he's like, "Well, fuck it, I'm done." Now he uses the jellyfish ship from Star Trek to escape.
The jellyfish ship,
which is funny because now I don't want to talk about it later, but how it's able to easily fly to the sun while it takes Abin's whole ship and stuff.
That's the first of our bad transitions.
Can we make a comment on the fact that he says it's got to the nearest sentient planet and he's flying to the Milky Way?
I do want to make a comment that I believe Kuhan, you thought that this was Diana Agron from Glee for the longest time.
I still kind of do.
And it is. I can assure you it isn't. This is a good joke. There's water in the tap. A couple of good jokes that are completely ruined by context, surrounding them with dullness.
Well, and also ruined by the fact that like they were in every single thousandth trailer.
Yeah. Oh, you know, honestly, that the whole thing, Hal likes to drive really fast, doesn't care where he's going, sleeps with random ladies, completely dropped after this scene. Gone. After he smashes the planes, he becomes kind of like a wimp, a simperer for the rest
of the This is the part where we missed in the original draft where Hal jumps out the window of
he's cheating on somebody's house. Yeah. He's involved in an illicit
affair. That's when the Camaro was cool. Now it's just a needless drive.
Another good joke, he kills the guy, calls him an asshole. It's a good joke, except that it's kind of ruined by the context and stuff. And now we get the Carol Ferris's father's increasingly horrible hair throughout this film. I love that guy in the back, like this really handsome, swarthy guy with this segmented, Minecraft beard in the back who beats up Hal later and stuff.
It's he's not like professional. A reference somewhere when Carol and Hal are talking about a locker, right? That's supposed to be him.
And then there's mustache guy again.
Is this the same mustache guy?
I wanted him to look at him. Same mustache guy.
No wonder his mustache was so
I just wanted him to look at Hal and go like, shake his head like, oh, there he is again.
There she is, the most beautiful
woman. Oh, the star of this movie.
Yeah, he's like, you know what I like about Best About You, Carol? Your Adam's apple. Now, it's hard for me to make fun of a woman just because she looks like a man and stuff, but it isn't that hard for me to make fun of Carol Ferris, who's has literally no fulcrum as a character in this film. She veers from scene to scene to a completely different character every scene she's in. And acting style, too, from robot to kind of barely audible Furby. Now, people rip on the females in superhero movies a lot, and, you know, they shouldn't because it's not really fair. They're kind of cast for whatever they're doing in the moment, you know, but she kind of ruins this movie. And it's not just her fault, really.
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot of elements in this movie that just don't work because of Carol.
Okay, now, as we know, Frankie Mateo is Blake Lively. So what do you have to say for yourself?
No, I thought Brandon Edwards was
Blake Lively. Bro, Brandon's obsessed with Blake Lively. And Frankie is Blake Lively.
Now, the joke of making her call sign Sapphire, that's fine and all, except for the fact that, you know, we know that the race she's going to be a part of is called the Star Sapphires. I mean, if we knew this wasn't going to be the only movie – we knew this was going to be the only movie in the series, it's a good joke. But since we know they wanted this to be part one
of
–
I feel like she was Sapphire for like – it's always been an inside joke in the comics.
Well, you can always just call it – Zamorons and be done with it.
I do want to say also that the whole premise of this dogfight that Carol gets so worked up when they lose, and yet when Hal wins, she's furious, you know. And then she's we got to do our best out there. It's like you guys can just do okay. All you really have to do is show what they're capable of. I mean, as long as you fly well, you can get any idiot up there. Okay. So I don't get what the argument of this conflict is, you know.
Endangered him, himself, and jeopardized the fact that they did well.
Oh, later, but I mean, point in fact is it's kind of like she gets so worked up and stuff about something that
that's her job.
But she loses the fight and she's supposed to, isn't she? I mean, she's supposed to lose the fight to these robots. If she beats them, the army guy is going
to
be like, well,
she has to take them to their max, and she's upset because
he took her out of it.
He took it beyond their max.
No, it's confusing enough, and that's why these kind of things aren't actually like this.
I think if
you're
confused by that, you got problems on your own. Carol didn't.
I think the test doesn't really make sense at all, anyways, in the first place.
The whole thing is a little wonky. You don't really need to have all this stuff happen. You don't need your best pilot on it, etc. Now, we can get into the scene really quick if you guys don't mind. But Tom Kamaku, I guess is how you pronounce it, in this film, that's fine. I think he's another kind of example of just one thing many from the comics. You know, I mean, he kind of pops in and out of scenes willy-nilly, you know, and information is repeated to him that's been repeated.
I wish he was played by the guy from the kid from Walking Dead.
The little kid? The Ray?
No, not the little kid. The Chinese guy.
I guess it's supposed to be Inuit, right? But anyway. But yeah, I mean, this sequence is – I don't know.
Is
it exciting? Is this interesting? Did you guys like this when you saw it?
No, I mean, I mentioned earlier that I wanted to see more Jets, but then when we got this scene, I was just like, this could have been so much better.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of – it plays another angle of Hal, which is interesting that, you know, he likes to kind of push it to the limit. He'll try unorthodox ways to win and stuff, which is not really unorthodox. Every single Jet movie you ever see, they always fly into the stratosphere.
Like, isn't this a scene, like, straight from Iron Man?
This is a scene from Iron Man. This is a scene from Hulk. This is a scene from every other – that basically this movie is kind of a hodgepodge of every other movie that you've seen that was a successful superhero movie in the last decade. You can count – you cannot count on all your fingers and toes how many times they say responsibility and power.
I do want to mention that I like.
I mean, this movie did come out the heels from every other superhero movie that ever came out prior to it. So,
which I think means it has more responsibility to be its own
powerful.
Because I mean, Thor.
Should.
There's not a lot of movies like Thor, and this it came out like 2 weeks before this. But I mean, I don't want to jerk off Thor any more than everybody else.
But again, that's a big problem between the executive producers of the movie and, you know, every single person's hand that got into this film.
Yeah, I agree. This is definitely a movie you can tell was made by committee to the point of its detriment. Yeah.
I was going to mention this later on when we got to the credits, but one thing we never mentioned in the review when we first talked about the movie was Michael Goldenberg, who's brought on somewhere in the screenwriting process to redo the Berlanti and Green script. And it's like, well, maybe he's the one to blame for references.
You got to assume it's got to have 150 writers on it. And I mean, as someone who, I don't know, I've read Geoff Johns' works pretty extensively the last couple of years, and you kind of definitely see where some of that stuff was shoehorned in. And with the deleted scenes on this DVD, not to be like that guy, but if you check the deleted scenes on this DVD, the Yellow Ring stuff.
Here's all the flashbacks that we get flashbacks to now 10 minutes ago, but the flashbacks, nothing that we ever
This is what I want to talk to this about right now, especially when you see this in the theaters. There's literally little context to what the hell's going on.
I think it's
Cocky Hal Jordan and goes like, I got this under control. 2 seconds into him knows that, sees one picture, he's like, oh man, I can't do anything about this.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely comes out of nowhere, and it's this kind of awkward characterization that, like, I made a point when I was talking to somebody about it, but this who hated this movie, and I actually did not meet people in person who hated this movie until earlier today, and I watched it with someone, and they were like, it sucked their asshole out.
Oh, hey, I did too, actually. Like earlier today, like I was still watching this I was like watching it like on with my headphones in the lounge of the dorm, and this girl passed by. She's like, why are you watching that movie?
Yeah, and exactly, and I think this movie, like I said, I think what happens in this movie is it's so interested in these themes that are hard to kind of quantify. What it does is it takes these themes of kind of fear and responsibility and et cetera, and it makes them so vague that anybody watching the movie, they want everybody watching the movie to kind of relate to these characters, except they've gotten so vague to the point where Hal literally has every single insecurity you can possibly equate with anything, and they're all contrary to each other, you know what I mean? He's a guy who's so reckless because, you know, he doesn't think he should be alive, or he's so reckless, and yet he quits everything, and yet he goes to the nth degree in the next breath and stuff. So it is part of the problem with this movie is the kind of unending droning bits of hammering home characterization that isn't there. Anyway, back to handsome Minecraft beard.
God, I love
I am talking about Blake Lively when I say that.
Yeah,
I know.
No, I'm just talking about the handsome guy in the corner. I mean, I don't know. It's interesting because of how I like the way some of the scene plays out, but he does kind of make a point here that they're mad at him for something they asked him to do, and then it kind of like this kind of defends our argument from before. They're like so mad at him that he beat them, and he's like, "I was supposed to beat them," and she's like, "How could you beat them?" It's like, why did you get mad when you lost then? I mean, obviously
it's the way you go about things.
How dare you do what you're supposed to do?
It needs to top out at a higher level. You don't have
There's
to.
There's a protocol
destroy
to the way
jets
to,
jets to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, they're trying to show that he's a little irresponsible. A lesson he does not learn until – he doesn't really learn at the end of the movie either, but yeah. I think this scene is kind of interesting because of how you know, the father specifically says, I have to fire like 35% of the people that work here, and you're fired. And she's like, no, you're not fired, you know. And that's a really good joke, too. Watch your back. That's actually impossible. Again, another joke that's kind of ruined by the context and stuff. And that guy seems pretty calm, considering presumably he's one of the people that got laid off.
He just lost his job, right,
like,
yeah.
Well, he lost his job in the middle of an argument that he wasn't even privy to. Like, they're like, Hal, I'm going to have to fire 25 guys, including this guy. Me? Shut up, Fred. You're fired. Like, what? You didn't have the right, like, the nerve to say fire to my own face.
Well, here's – I think he's assumed that, hey, Carol's not going to fire Hal. She's definitely not going to fire me.
I like how he's confronting her too. Like, this is the lesson movie where she's supposed to learn her lesson, and she kind of gets right back in his face with her Mila Ventimiglia.
Except his argument is invalid. It's like, you can't yell at me because I don't want to be a pilot.
His argument can't be invalid.
Because I'm getting the only paying job here.
I love how she definitely changed. Like, he's still wearing the outfit he was wearing. Presumably this is about an hour and a half later, and she went into the locker and changed into this suit and rolled up the sleeves like she'd been
there. He did crash her.
Well, you know what Hal was doing. He was – no, he was drinking. He was drinking on the way there.
Whatever he was doing.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, he was in the middle of the desert, whereas she could fly back.
And this is one of the other reasons why this is problematic, because the movie gives you all the information about the characters up front. So you're not getting any kind of mystery. You're just kind of – you're seeing two plot lines converge in a way that's really bald and just obvious, you know. What do we think about Temuera Morrison?
No, I agree. It feels like
– what do we get out of
it? It feels like two different movies that combine into one.
And it doesn't – not in a way that can – like, you're interested to see what happens. I mean, if they had just had Abin Sur get killed by a big yellow space face and had this happen, you'd be like, what the fuck is happening in this movie? But you'd want to know what's happening next, you know. And this too, this whole ball of light. They have it in the extended sequence. This flies into the house for a second. So we'll get to that when we get to that. So now the only other real extended sequence in this movie, Hal goes to his nephew's birthday party.
I'm thinking now that
I do want to see more with him and his nephew, or like even his family as a whole. But like, you know, like just like,
well, again,
I think the family 3 seconds really of him.
No, I thought they were strong. I want to see more strong family moments.
I think it's an angle again. Now this is a unique angle to the superhero movie, right? We're talking about it so derivative. What other superhero movie? The guy has a gigantic family. You know, everybody who still lives together and I mean, not lives together. Presumably, they all live close by enough where they can watch
or
newscasts.
Or any family. Yeah.
Well, they're watching newscasts at the son's birthday. Yeah, they can go to the kid's birthday party all the time.
And the only person who's dead is the father. I went to a movie the other day. I believe we went to Footloose, and the mother was dead. And my fiance is now pregnant, and she says stuff all the time, like, you know how many fucking dead mothers there are in these movies? Because, and she's right. This is the only one where there's a living mother. And in the extended, in the regular, you don't know that. Here it is, the last appearance of Hal Jordan's mother. Apparently, they kept her in the basement because she's
no. She shows sunlight. Up during the TV scene, right? Where they're watching TV.
I don't know.
Or is that about to happen?
Well, right now.
Never mind.
Just watch TV.
Yeah.
There's a deleted scene, just so you guys know.
Sad eyes.
There's a deleted scene that recontextualizes Hal's relationship with his nephew, because he shows up and saves the nephew in the deleted scene. Another scene that is not in the extended cut.
Why didn't they just put these scenes in the extended cut?
Because you could tell, like I was going to say before, when we get to it, I guess we'll get to it, but you could tell the yellow ring stuff, and a lot of this stuff was kind of put in at the last minute to kind of, I don't know, set a sequel up. Anyway, this scene, I'm sure a lot of you guys like this scene because you're all sissies.
Wow, okay. Anyway,
I was sad. I was happy. It was
speaking of sisters, why the hell did you go see Footloose?
You're a sad kid.
What do you mean, why did I go
see Footloose? That's a topic for another time.
He's got awesome dancing and.
What?
You know, like Footloose.
Anyways, did you watch the. Oh, I mean, you like watch the original or did you go to see the new one?
I don't know. This kid's face kind of bugs me. It looks like he's not paying attention to what's happening in the dialogue here. Like, he's just waiting for his line. Fucking.
What the hell?
You fucking loser.
You are evil.
I am evil. I like how his football his pillow says slam dunk. Oh. It's like you're simple. Yeah.
Also touchdown and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's got. I think he had
just. I'm waiting to see if there's a Mets poster somewhere in this room.
Oh, who's that?
Hey, there it is.
Who's that?
This is my poster.
Mets or is that Giants?
He makes a point to talk about baseball, and this is a new sequence where he talks about how. You know, things that are important to him and stuff, and gives you some actual context, a through line for Hal, as opposed to the kind of haphazard way his character is presented. Him saying something like, I love to fly, is something you do not get in the original cut. Like, he at no point says he likes to fly. You just get the sense he does it because his dad did it, you know?
I remember hearing it in the trailer. Like, this line was in the trailer, like every trailer, too.
And not only this is definitely a lesson that you assume he's going to pick up later and use as a Green Lantern, and he doesn't. None of this comes into play later in the movie at all. I mean, obviously... we watched the original cut, but
I mean, I feel like the extended cut is like it's not even like it's just like added a few scenes. Like I don't see like an actual director's cut, as opposed to just like extended, like some producers like, hey, let's add these scenes back in.
I think the thing is the scenes that would have contextualized this just weren't shot, you know, and this was kind of like created in and of itself. It's kind of a randomized extended cut. It's like whatever scenes that we didn't put in the movie that could fit in the movie. Like this, Hal getting hit in the chest with the green bubble. What does that even mean? I mean, is it
marking I felt that too.
Is it means he's going to wait for it until he's alone and not in front of kids? Well, you know,
after the fact that like later on he just automatically gets thrown into the air.
Yeah, it's probably just waiting for him to be alone and stuff.
I thought Jack wrapped it myself.
I didn't know the ring had a privacy request feature.
Well, it wasn't alone when it activated either.
Can I just ask a stupid question? Why was he in such a hurry to activate it? I mean, activate it. Why was he in such a hurry to wrap it when he had a completely different thing to do that was going to take him like 4 hours in the morning? You know, why didn't he couldn't he have just wrapped it as soon as he was done with the plane exercise? Like, why was he?
He probably didn't think he'd take all day. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, he probably did think it'd take all day. He probably didn't think he had time.
No,
yeah.
Anyway,
that is a weird looking kid.
So he looks like Gollum or something. And right here,
his eyebrows should be lower.
We're about to get the second reference to Hot Wheels and stuff, which again contextualizes a scene later where Hal uses his powers to cause reckless havoc.
Mattel's Green Lantern.
I mean product placement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot Wheels leading the way.
I think they just reference it. It's kind of like what else do you call little cars? But yeah,
it should have been Micro Machines. So we got the Micro Machine Man.
They could have called them Matchbox cars.
Here we go. How do we all feel about it? I don't really like this whole he's in a ball and it looks kind of silly.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
It looks silly.
It's better than him.
You think this looks silly? Remember the Super Friends scene where he was in the partial cockpit thing?
I never liked the whole he's in the test thing either. You know, he's in the automatic.
Well, that was his own.
I know it's the original. Yeah,
that was always his original origin.
I never liked that either.
Origin. The hell do you want him to be in?
I don't know
exactly.
Shit,
like,
I don't know.
Just like he's at Walmart on like the one fight, of the toy
I don't mind being cool. I just don't want him to be in a ball spinning, going whoa.
So it should be like Power Rangers.
he just teleported there.
The funny thing was the original script called
Ring. Parallax has escaped. Find me one asshole with attitude.
That he was going to be in the car one of that.
Which would have been even worse for me. I don't want to see his hot rod flying through the air, but that would have just even more slapstick.
Would remind me of Flubber.
I like this. You get a little bit of personality in the directing here. The camera shakes when he runs, and he does that trick where he pulls the camera past the guy's side while he's running past the camera, like he's running past the movie here. And I like that Hal is so selfless to kind of jump in the water once he knows that somebody's in trouble.
Yeah,
it is pretty funny that Abin Sur survived for many hours without dying.
Yeah, it's been all day.
My thing is like, yo, Ring, find me a doctor. Like, don't find a replacement. Like,
Ring, take me to the nearest
or find me a replacement who's also a doctor, just in case, you know?
Yo, like, Ring.
Can you call Sinestro? Because I know that it's really – you can get to the sun in about 3 seconds with our powers. Why can't we get to Oa in about
Ring, time? Find the nearest planet with a hospital that can treat my wounds.
This is
call up Tomar Ray. He's like next sector over. He'll be right there.
This would typically be a solemn scene in all the other iterations of the origin, and this movie kind of just blazes right through it.
With a joke.
A lot of jokes, you know, which is interesting. You know, I don't know if I like it, but it's interesting to think that it doesn't take itself so seriously in terms of you need to be
– Well, maybe Hal just doesn't take it seriously.
Well, you know this movie's created by people, right? And this is all fictional, right? I mean, I'm talking about the context that it's in the scene. Like, you could have had this be a much more serious scene, but I think the director's like, well, I want more immediacy. I want more kind of like – he doesn't know what the hell is going on, and neither do we. I mean, we do know what's going on because we've seen the other 20 minutes, which explain very clearly what's going on. So
yeah, I think at the end where he says, oh, come on. It's just – I think that's how I would feel after a long day and an alien just died. I'm just like, Jesus, what's next?
Yeah. And now he gets the Guyver unit.
Yes.
And then one of two or three times where he calls Tom. And this scene is kind of funny because of how, you know, he calls Tom first person to help him out with this stuff. And then later when Tom has to literally beg him to see his powers, and you're like, but why? Didn't you call this guy as your first guy when you're in trouble?
I'm not sure it's just like friends being assholes to each other. But, you know, like, right there, like, that seemed, like, really stilted, like, come again?
Yeah. He's not the best cast guy. I mean, what? I feel like this role is easy. You just get a funny-looking guy with glasses and big hair, and he just says funny stuff. And it is easy to play, you know. I mean, Anthony Anderson's made a whole career of being that guy. But, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to work every time.
They could have gotten the kid from Walking Dead.
Just get John Cho or somebody that we know is going to deliver, you know.
John Cho.
Really, John Cho?
Inuit.
Like, come on, man.
I like. I mean, and
this guy's Filipino.
Al Perry's under the worst burial ever. He's like, I couldn't just leave him. He's going to be dug up moments later. That just seems like kind of a bit of fidelity that we didn't really need. I mean, he didn't just have to leave him. He could have covered him with a tarp or something, you know.
Did he have a tarp?
Why do we need Tom in the scene at all? Because we need someone to talk to.
Should have stuck
Someone's like a jerk.
How does the Hal get home?
Abbott in the car.
Well, there's plenty.
I do love that Tom like immediately gets into his own car in the passenger side.
Yeah, that's bad. It does open up arguments as to how does he get home, but it also, like, he didn't have to get there by himself in that slapstick ball. I mean, they could have written something around that, but it's obviously they just want to have a scene where these two guys interact. What is this? And Tom has a bunch of really funny lines. I mean, I think the line "responsibility on his planet means asshole" is pretty good, but otherwise this is kind of just them driving fast away from nothing,
which means that on Amon's Earth planet you'd have great responsibility. Hey, because you're an asshole. Anybody? No? All right, fine.
I get it.
Yeah. Well, it's like like I said, it's interesting because you see this kind of thing in a lot of superhero movies, the kind of best friend and stuff. You know, and it's like, I don't know, like Thor, Darcy, right? Like, Kat Jennings does nothing but say funny stuff and then kind of vanishes towards the end of the movie.
What?
But it's not treated
it's
so
seriously. It's the first introduction to the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I like this.
Universe? General. Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah,
Guardians of the Galaxy. The old guys.
I say galaxy. There's not enough universe going on.
I think that's the wrong
Again, property. We get into the I like the designs a lot. I mean, I guess we're supposed to assume that's a scar on Sinestro's face, right? It looks like somebody – who was scarring him, like with a wire hanger? Was he attacked by the movie The Mother and Mommy Dearest, you know?
Wire hangers.
The Guardian, I love the head.
I love this guy, the Guardian who just – the smug Guardian. I like to call her White Girl Guardian. Just smug. And she's always the one he looks at, and she's the one who nods later. She's the shittiest one. But I like the way they're designed. The Guardians great. Yeah, they're great.
I don't like the cloth, though. It's just massive. Long for no reason.
The long cloths?
Because if they didn't have it, it's kind of explicit that they're all Yoda. And if they didn't have that long cloth, it'd be a little more explicit that they're Yoda. So they kind of have to remove it a little bit. I like the broken column and how that's not really something you notice until later. And it's kind of funny that Sinestro is so shocked by the story because he's like, I've never asked you guys what that broken column is.
Holy crap. I just noticed the collar on Sinestro.
I noticed that part of his eyebrows was missing.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because if you look at the actual special effects, they definitely added like a good inch of muscle to every ounce of an inch of muscle to every inch of Mark Strong. So if you see him, he's just kind of like a regular dude, and now he looks like Brock Diesel. So his suit kind of looks faker than everybody else's.
Maybe just gained a lot of weight.
Well, it always – I mean,
no, it's, if you look at the original screen
before the movie was released, that his suit didn't look right.
maybe it was like, hey, God, do you want me to buff up for this movie? Like, now I'll just CG it.
Yeah, we don't really need to worry about it. He's like, I have to choose 4 or 5 other movies this summer where I'm the one. I love this white chick. I love this white girl Guardian. I love her. Do we know the names? You guys, I feel like a jerk for not doing more research. But
I feel like it's Gantet, Said, Apaliapsa.
Yeah, we know what the names of the Guardians are, but we know which ones are which.
No, it's Gantet, Said, and Apaliapsa.
No,
we're about 2.5 hours.
And here's our serial killer.
Here's Hector Amon again.
So now, I kind of wish that Hector, like, you know, wasn't this...
pathetic. Obvious.
Yeah, pathetic. Yeah, like pathetic. Like loser. Like, you know, like just like clearly creeping on Carol. Like, I wish, like, you know, like they got a nice looking guy, like Peter Sarsgaard. Like, I kind of wish that he'd been like sort of a romantic rival for Hal. Like, kind of like he was in Secret Origin.
A halfway normal person.
Yeah, anything they could have done to not make him such a kind of like a pigeonholed stereotype and stuff. Especially because once you get into the conflicts at
the
end,
did Adam put you up to this?
Yeah, that's like, oh, that's
the cliche. But again, they're trying to do the cliche rivalry between the two characters. Like, one's perfect, one's not perfect.
But then it's like, what lesson?
Make them both perfect, but this guy's perfect and an asshole, and this guy's, like, Hal's just perfect, or whatever.
And just a dick.
And just do it like the Baxter, where, you know, he's like a great guy, but it turns out at the end he, like, you know, shot his sister in the leg, or like he totally doesn't mind that he's sleeping with strippers and stuff like that. And like every other romantic comedy. I mean, as it is here, it's kind of like it's the opposite of She's All That, you know. At the end of the movie, the pretty guy gets the girl and the ugly guy turns into a giant testicle and gets eaten by his dad, you know. This whole DEO thing, completely unnecessary. Completely 100% unnecessary. So obviously trying to be Marvel comic movies.
Yeah, completely unnecessary.
Square up and down, you know.
Welcome to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Completely unnecessary. Oh, and looks
shade.
And
I hated the grammar from the guy too.
Yeah, I don't know.
The grammar from the grammar?
You wanna hate grammar, hate it's everything Blake Lively says past the first hour mark of this movie.
Hey, look, it's Sam Jackson.
I know. You know, it's hilarious to how many pompadours are in this movie. Tim Robbins Angela Bassett. It's almost like we have three or four more pompadour wigs. What are you going to do with them? We can't put them on Carol Ferris's dad's head because his head keeps eating the wigs. So
they could have given him a pompadour. Like, and that's the weird thing. Like, he already doesn't have like his hair. His head already looks really creepy to begin with.
No. His head does not look creepy enough. He's had
that is a bad wig right there.
Right, so they make it creepier. But like, it already looks pretty creepy. Like, and they just make it creepier as it goes on. Like, I thought like when I saw pictures of like when I saw stuff of him like just like this, I thought it was already pretty mutated.
So let's all discuss this as people who know nothing about science. What is that big circular thing doing in the middle of the room? Is it
sciencing?
I'm pretty sure it's decorative.
Colton is a physicist.
He's not a Colton can't tie his shoes when it's not daytime. He's not a physicist.
I can't tie my shoes.
I think you, whoever was in San Diego Comic Con a couple of years was lucky because they had this body on display there. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
fucking lucky. But Angela Bassett,
that you had Tamara Morrison like in a case.
I can't breathe. Shut up. this scene. So many jokes in this scene. Not a single one of them makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Well, this scene is basically the scene cuts from Spider-Man where he's trying to get the webbing out.
But it's like twice as long and not as funny. Yeah.
It's actually not twice. It's actually shorter.
Yeah, logically, it makes sense that it's like, why wouldn't he tell him the oath?
Because he's dying. Because
he's dead.
I don't like how this is like the movie repurposes every single angle of the ring to Latin ratios. You have to hit it. Like there's nothing else you can do. You have to smack it. And nothing else matters except smacking it. The oath is completely superfluous in this film. I mean, besides even the fact that they throw it away when he charges. I mean, you want to be a nerd or not, whether that actually helps the movie or not. But it's completely superfluous. He says it twice in the movie. One time completely out of context. I saw it with somebody who knows nothing about Green Lantern and was confused. Like, why is he saying it here? Is he out of power? And I'm like, no. Why would he be? He just punches Lantern.
Yeah, it feels like a reference to Justice League.
It's just the thing
that was. The problem with the oath in this movie is solely for the fact that none of the other
Lanterns say it. He cut off. Yeah. I think this joke is whatever.
Again, in all the trailers, like.
And even besides, I think in a swamp is the funniest part of the joke too, which is funny because they cut it out. But it's like there's so many opportunities for a good joke there, and that's none. Those are not good jokes. 17 writers. Ryan Reynolds, the most charismatic man of his generation, and nobody can get anything funny out of this. It's kind of unfortunate. And this is actually where the movie goes off the rails in terms of color. The rest of the movie is just kind of – everything is black and green and you can't tell where anything is.
I love like how like it does not make any sense how he taps it. Like it's like he like, really like bends down and awkwardly taps it.
This is something that I thought was interesting when I saw it, even though it kind of – they cut to Hector getting infected at the same time that Hal is quote-unquote getting infected. You know, it kind of breaks the momentum of the oath. But it does kind of frame the two characters as going through a similar journey in the film, which would be fine if not for the fact that Hector only entered the film about a third of the way through and leaves before the last half hour. Yeah,
that's why we get him back in the beginning.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we get that 2 seconds of the little fat kid who likes science in the beginning. Yeah, like that makes any difference.
You are so evil. Did I mention that?
See,
alien.
No, but I do. I really do wish that Hector was like a nice-looking scientist guy. Like, you know,
alien or other Green Lantern says that oath.
Yeah, I mean, there could have been a point where they all say the oath at any point during the movie, but it's kind of like – the oath is – I always thought the oath is kind of silly, but you know, at this point, it's such a part of the character that
if you wanted a unified theme with all the Green Lanterns or make Hal Jordan feel more that this is larger than him, you needed the other guys to save this.
Can I ask you guys a question? Do you think Blake Lively just eats like chicken wings or ribs or something right before every scene? Because her nose and cheekbones and chin are always so
– because that's very relevant to the movie. Yes.
I'm just curious. It's glaring.
Stop being an asshole.
You know, mentioning the prior point, I think it would have been great to have them do the oath in that point where they're all screaming, "We are the core."
Yeah, no, I was saying, like, yeah, like, are they just like, okay, they you know, you could do something random or have them speak the oath, which they do all the time in the comics.
Yeah, but
exactly
then you
that.
Wouldn't know they're a core.
You figure it out when there's a bunch of them saying the same oath.
I get the argument.
I wish they'd been like, "We are lanterns." Bum, 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 bum.
I think they should have rewritten the scene a little bit to get a bit more import as to what Hector finds out, because I think there's a lot of kind of – he just looks at it and tells him a lot of information that you really could have picked up just by looking at it, you know? And I think a little bit of like getting some kind of legitimate scientific knowledge in there would have been exciting, but all they're really doing here is kind of introducing the DEO in a way that doesn't go anywhere and having Hector – star in a scene that's his own and get infected just to kind of have him get infected and stuff. And
I love that. I love that Hector's analysis could basically be given by a high school student.
Oh, yeah, you just look at it. He's just describing the plot of one of the Next Generation episodes of Star Trek.
Well, wasn't he just hired because of who his
father
was?
That's what we're talking about. I'm talking about the scene itself in context. It makes sense they'd hire him because of nepotism, but it doesn't make any sense he'd be the only person in the room. And even if it did make sense he's the only person in the room, at least in the scene itself, give us something more than he could be related to humanity. You know what I mean? That's not
humanoid. Oh, my God.
Give us actual scientific. Especially later when Tim Robbins says they were impressed by this information. It's like, what information? You didn't give us anything new. Anyway, on this scene, this is a cute scene, not cute enough.
I think it gets real cute when they start dancing. But
that joke where she says no, never seen that before. That's so good. I love this movie for all its originality.
Yeah, I haven't even seen that on internet videos where people make a joke and
your dripping sarcasm is so amazing.
I think it does make it less special. It doesn't always make it less funny because sometimes it's funny, but it does definitely make it less special. It's fine. This is, again, Carol's bipolar personality coming into play here. I mean, I don't get the sense that she's...
How is this bipolar?
She's completely different. Because she has a whole sequence in the beginning where she yells at him about being late and irresponsible. And then she yells at him about crashing the plane and being irresponsible. And now she's kind of – is she like worried about him? And she comes in this scene and she's just kind of flirting with him.
I believe the TV trope is called Tsundere.
You can't date somebody you think is – who's got flaws.
Like, that's not what I'm talking about. She's not dating him. What were we saying? What's Tsundere?
No, you got to
basically
talk
about
her flirting
with him.
Basically,
people use this anime. It's one girl who's one half psychopathically angry.
Wait, one at a time.
One half psychopathically angry, one half what?
Endearing towards the character. Like, she likes him, but then she wants to beat the crap out of him because she doesn't want him to know she likes him. Kind of crazy.
It's not even that serious.
She says no so long. But it's basically, Carol doesn't do anything in this movie except explain to Hal what his problems are at different scenes in the movie. And that's not a character.
NFL Blitz.
That's not a character. That's Hal's updating his blog. Basically, Carol is Hal's blog in this film. And it's kind of like, if you cut her out, what do you lose, you know? You don't really lose anything because you can have – he has Tom, who he has much more entertaining conversations about similar things, you know. Basically, you're kind of just laying on this whole – the theme, Hal's theme.
I completely afraid of disagree.
What is he afraid of? Is he afraid of commitment? Is he afraid of
– Why are you getting it?
I'm talking about the fact that all she does is deaden the movie with this empty theme.
I think you have a black heart. This scene right here where they're dancing is beautiful.
I think 90% of the critics of America agree with me, but I think I don't know. I feel like it goes without saying that this is nice. It's not nice enough to justify the amount of time.
I know one guy who agrees with Brandon, who said on Saturday, anything Blake Lively is fantastic and amazing. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, people like Blake Lively. She's got a specific
look. How about Hal ran away from this conversation for no reason?
Let's move on to the fact that right now Hal's going to be jumped by three guys. By random, that
spoiler
alert. Out this bar.
Spoiler for 3 seconds in the future. Shut up, Colton.
We completely missed.
Presumably, you've seen the movie before.
John Stewart didn't show up.
Yeah, again, not added. No deleted scene, no nothing.
No Marines versus Air Force pilots.
So weird.
But the funny thing, again, is that in this movie, Hal is clearly not Air Force. He's just a contracted pilot for a corporation.
He says at one point he was in the Air Force, and you see his dog tags on his car, so it's just he used to be Air Force. But yeah, he's not Air Force in the movie itself, no. This beatdown scene is hilarious because these guys are like, you cost us our job. Presumably they get their jobs back later if they live through this, which they probably don't. But we don't see them again in the movie. Like, they're not at the party saying to Hal, like, sorry, you beat us up.
It's because they're dead.
With the giant green fist that knocks them out. Like, they all forgot about it.
They all have compound fractures. Dead. They're all in the hospital beds right now.
He went through
it. It doesn't take a day or week to, like, heal.
Yeah, but they do
like
have jobs.
Yeah, there it goes.
Like, right there, that guy died. The guy with the dumpster definitely broke.
That brick wall guy died.
The brick wall guy died. The guy with the dumpster is definitely, like, cannot walk anymore. And the other guy's probably just in the hospital.
I wish we could rewind and see that wall was completely unnecessary. It's just a random wall.
It was necessary to kill him.
Here's some funny. Wait. It's hilarious. Here's something hilarious going on. Static electricity.
See,
energy.
I didn't find the first bubble, table. But this looks bad.
Same thing twice. Yeah, same thing twice.
I love how this ring is activated by Will, and he can't get it off with his will.
He's able to get, well, I guess
just
it's locked.
Like Sinestro.
But this is the Guardians at work, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because their will overpowers his, just like Deathstroke's.
But there's a matter of distance. There's the moment arm. He has a smaller moment arm than the Guardians.
We get cross-cutting in this scene to kind of, again, instill, like, they're going through the same journey and what's happening to both of them. And you know, both of them don't like it, and it's the opposite ends of the spectrum, not to be like, no pun intended, whatever. But this kind of goes away later. I mean, it plays up a little in their confrontation, but the actual thematic content never comes to a head. You know, it doesn't lead to anything. It's just it's something interesting.
Did they ask about that?
Yeah, it's
something interesting they thought to do, and then they don't really get anywhere else with it. You know,
CG. It's a very weird sequence itself.
Yeah, and how going to this is what the bubble should have been like in the first place. What's wrong with that?
Wormhole.
There's a green glow. Yeah.
Oh, the Phantom Zone. He goes through the Phantom Zone from Smallville. Yeah. Recycle special effects.
There's Zod.
Yeah, there's Zod. It's also like.
Also oh, that'd like be great if Zod just hits the ride.
The Rainbow Bridge in Thor. Yeah, and this is also, I mean.
It's a, it, oh, Bifrost. Oh. Yeah.
Apocalypse. Yeah.
Passes out with all those G forces.
Dude, can I just say that the next scene.
It was a seizure.
This was sick as hell in 3D. Ryan
this
Reynolds.
This looks great.
400 pounds.
Look at that nose. Oh my god.
So amazing. In 3D, it was literally heart stopping. Such eyebrows.
Sexy. I like that they make sure to leave his tiny underwear on. Make sure to leave on his tiny whities.
It's Ryan Reynolds' time.
You need to see a stick.
Well, they're boxing.
They can strategically
go around the camera without showing his tight, you know, his junk, you know, just like
the best thing about it is that the Guardians shimmy down his underwear a little so we can see his awesome hip bones.
It's weird that this is a scene that apparently it's painful as all get out apparently.
Well, according to the special features, Ryan Reynolds worked out for like 9 months for that scene, so he could be like, you know, contorting and have bomb ass muscles the whole time and stuff.
Which he does.
And here we go. The first glimpse.
The fire and
the very
fire,
first glimpse of cool, the fully CGI Green Lanterns.
I think the fact that it looks really good on Blu-ray. This is something that even on the big screen you lose a little.
I feel like they should have Adele playing behind it, like "There's a fire."
I think that one shot of his eyes was the only time the mask ever looked good.
I was going to say terrible because you could see where the digital res stopped.
Yeah, I thought it looked awful.
Did anyone ever see a Freddy versus Jason? His eyes looked like Freddy's at the start of the movie.
Yeah, I watched it with someone who actually says that, you know, a lot of people complain about the mask because it looks silly, but she specifically said he looks scary, like, in the mask. He looks frightening in the mask, which is kind of cool because it kind of extends the whole, you know, alien life form, living suit energy, muscle structure thing. But
why do they have mirrors?
He's also scary. So you can see what you look
who
like.
Who said there's a mirror?
It's their changing room.
Yeah, it's
maybe
great.
It's just
vanity.
It's a bad mirror, though, because it's all cracked.
It's vanity.
Every glass isn't a mirror.
It's cool. You get the prerequisite guy dressing before the thing, looking pretty cool thing. I want to say I like the suit a lot, especially, like I said, in Blu-ray. You can really see the fact that the suit
hey,
is
look, there's Academy Award winning actor Jeffrey Rush.
That's not Jeffrey Rush. That's a CGI fish with Jeffrey Rush in the last minute on his voice.
A fish chicken.
I like the fact that the suit. But Hal's suit is the only one that crackles. Everybody else's suit is just a suit. Sinestro just kind of glows. But
maybe it's Hal's a rookie thing.
I don't like
Tomar's chest symbol. It looks weird.
It looks like he has a mono boob.
It's just small.
Well, it's funny. How's on the suit? I think
you cut off again. Yeah, I think his suit is definitely more elaborate.
Dump information in his brain thing.
Oh yeah, you cut off for a sec, Frank. But yeah, I mean, I think Tomar Ray looks great. I think he looks fine. I like the fact that they redesigned him and stuff, and the designs of the aliens and the special effects. And stuff.
Well, how about we compare Abensur to the completely CG Tomar?
Well, it's
should they gone completely CG with Abin?
No, I'm glad they did variety. Abin, like I said, you can if he was moving his mouth, you could tell it was makeup. Otherwise, it looked great. Tomar Ray looks fine too. It's one of those things where makeup versus CGI doesn't really work because you can get more done with CGI. And once you look at CGI, it looks like CGI, but you could totally believe it if you just look at it for more than 12 seconds. You know, like you just it's obvious. Look at Abin Sur quick to Hal Jordan here, and it's clear two completely different. Like visual planes right here, but it doesn't bother your eyes, you know. So it's almost like, what's the point of wasting time on makeup and stuff if the guy can't even move his face? Where you get much more expressiveness out of Adam Surfy's CG, right? Not to be that guy that defends CG versus makeup, but
well, I don't think it's not.
He talks so much about Oa, does not explain what this city is. Who lives there?
What's that building? And that,
what are those
flying things?
Why is it always nighttime here?
Well, there's a sign.
Where's Bruce Willis and that alien chick from the Fifth Element?
Now, good. Now, this is actually pretty cool.
How about we talk about Oa?
we talk about Hal being so excited about
Flash. Then we were talking about
Yeah, didn't we just talk about it? Or just like
we're done now? Talking about it. You missed that conversation?
I missed the conversation.
Just rewind the DVD and listen to it again.
I'll see you guys in 5 minutes.
Okay. Now check out Tomo Ray is like shooting these sonic beams out of his ass.
Yeah, here's a flight. Here's a flight.
Here we go. Wait. End of the movie.
Yeah. you know, it's interesting because you really think about it. Do you guys look at how they visualize the green energy and stuff? Because in the comics, it's never anything but solid objects. Never anything but
solid. Right here, Hal's head looks so out of place.
Yeah, it's the shadows are on it wrong. Yeah. But visualizing the green constructs, right? Like, what does that look like? You know, it's very – this movie obviously makes it like it's smoke. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's smoke. Sometimes it's signals. Sometimes it's like blocks. But it's usually smoke. You know, in the comics, it's never smoke. So it's interesting to kind of – it's probably the easiest way to visualize it, which is kind of disappointing. You know, I would have wanted to see more.
Wait, you're talking about flying or something?
No, when they're using energy at all.
I like diverse choices. I like to see all of them used in comics.
So technically, yeah. I mean, Tomo Ray's flight, if you guys can see this, it's circle. It's like a circle around his body. When he flies around, it kind of bends around him and stuff. But it eventually turns into fiery smoke at the end of it and stuff. Now, I think it's interesting because I'm curious what people who aren't used to the comics think about the whole idea of like a battery – if you're fueled by the will of all the people in the universe. It sounds like never-ending story. You know, like, if I was like a layman, I probably would have been pulled right out of it, you know? But, I mean, I'm not a layman, so it's okay.
It's not technologically based at all.
Well, they make a point to say there's no magic
later. It's very magic.
Yeah, they make a point to say there's no magic later, which I thought was cool, but now we get this big ass cameo.
What is this, the meeting room?
Green Man. I think that's Chassalon. You got Remy Hall.
There's Buzz.
Zid, that's Nauticloy, how you pronounce it?
And I also saw that floating head.
Is that Salak?
That's Salak, yeah. And that's, and what's her name? Vansarn. Isma Cole, that's right. Yep. This is Sinestro doing Jesus pose for a reason.
This is Sinestro.
Is
this the rec room? This is the only place that they can hang out? Like, there's a whole goddamn bed. This is the worst place to hang out.
Well, it's not as if he's about to say there's a discount in the cafeteria. He's making a pretty bad announcement.
I'd love that to be. I'd love to be like,
it's like, yeah, we all suck. We're gonna die. But we're gonna
win. This is an important announcement. Also, Lantern Salak would like everyone to know that.
Why is this place so pitted up and broken? Because nobody's ever invaded Oa before, right? So it's just disrepair. Like, you guys can do anything, but you won't fucking clean your own rec hall.
Everyone's dead. Not a human.
I'm the greatest. What a bitch move! Just don't go to my planet.
Is that necessary when you got that giant announcement to make? You just want to make it necessary that there's a human
who sucks and isn't as good. We all know my best friend Abin Sur died, and some dick sucks, sticking his place. But good luck to him because you fucking suck, and I wish you were dead.
Oh, there's Kilowog in the back.
Oh, Kilowog cameo, and there's what's her name? That's not.
Isn't that the one that was not based on his wife?
Whose wife? Your wife?
Martin's wife.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, Maya Campbell's wife?
She's worth doing commentary.
She said she was going to have a
unfortunately,
role.
This is the only scene of the thing. They reuse footage from this in the big climax, which takes you out of it a little. A lot of recycling in this. Even the scene where Hal gets...
After this big battle, no, let's go kill all humans.
Here's the thing again. No Wait. Oaf.
The core.
No
bum, 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 bum.
Well, they didn't want to spend all day screaming the same thing we just heard from Hal.
And they just killed an entire planet's population with that.
This is a pretty awesome special effect. This is a pretty awesome special effect right here.
It is. But, Brandon, the way I'm saying that they said to use the core, saying the oath, is, again, unified, you know, a form. You know, half how.
I think
it would have been cool. When he says the oath again.
I think it's cool if they did it, but I think it's not necessary.
All this Oa stuff is definitely the best stuff in the movie, and this is what the movie should have been. Like, these really cool ideas hitting you, a lot of, like, excitement and stuff. I'm not saying it shouldn't have any characterization. I'm saying the endless scenes of non-characters.
That he's so unfocused that it's just crap. I love that. Because I know, as a Green Lantern, I would suck ass.
It looks like he's trying to create the chain.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain amount of – I mean, that's cool and stuff, but then the next scene, he graduates to the fact – I like how their training process is just like bigger dudes come to beat you up every couple of minutes.
Cause first of all, Kevin Michael –
it's weird.
Clark Duncan. First thing Kevin Michael Richardson. Michael Clark Duncan's voice coming out of Kilowog is just a little strange to me.
He's fine. It's just that he sounds like Michael Clark Duncan, and that's the reason they shouldn't have got him. I don't mind that. It's kind of like a safe pick. for, like, the ultimate safe pick for Kilowog, but it's, you know, it's kind of like, it just sounds like Michael Clark Duncan.
I like his voice.
The one weird thing about this entire scene is still the fact that it's just Hal Jordan, the only new recruit for the Green Lantern Corps, being trained alone, privately.
But well, yeah, but
he's the newest recruit.
Yeah, maybe nobody else died recently. I mean, they said
well,
I think
four of the guys died recently,
probably killing people
they?
Right now. Yeah, there's probably more than one drill instructor.
I really wish that that like included the idea from Rebirth that Kyle said, like, you know, the Lanterns are hurt by the fact that they used the ring. That they never, you know, never used again. But, like, I was, like, they sort of, like, mentioned the idea that like, this sort of, like, draining him. Like, oh, God, this kind of hurts.
Well, the
mental drain.
The context is kind of... Just hitting this guy with metal discs, is that
I
fair?
Never even realized how complicated it could be fighting with one hand.
It's fine. I never realized that you had to be this violent to train someone to use a mechanical device. I like how whenever Hal uses it, the entire suit
is
shooting crackling energy out of his whole body and stuff. That's awesome. It's just something they wouldn't even bother to visualize in the comics and the movies, like, really take advantage of it. That's the best thing about the movie.
Guys, that's important, by the way. The bigger you are, the bigger you burn, just so you know. Very important.
Did he seriously just create a sun with his will?
You know, it's cool because you get to see the gamut of stuff you can do. It's also, it's a bad line, especially it's a bad line to retreat to later, you know? You punch the guy when he's down. What does that even teach
you?
No,
I'm like,
this planet is a hostile asshole.
It's not like pull him up and then, like, knock him over, like start pulling and then punch his face in the face. Punch his face in the face?
It's a little...
The way Kilowog looks.
He looks cool. Just that was a cheesy double flip, and that's a bad waste of a line right there too. Mm. How intense and nasty! Sinestro looks like a crazy person every time he shows up. He's like, every scene he walks into.
He was named Sinestro. He was obviously evil when he was born.
He's way too intense. Every time a light is on his face, he's like,
His family's name was Sinestro, though, right?
Seizing hatred.
I love how they created a first name for him to use in the movie, and then they don't use it in the movie at
all.
They
don't use it, right? Yeah.
I like this scene a lot, actually, because I like that they contextualize the relationship as Hal has kind of realized this guy's a dick and wants to fight him. And he's kind of wary because I guess, I don't know, I actually have seen this movie like 6 times now, and I'm still not really sure what Hal's feelings are about anything. But I like that he's kind of confrontational here, but kind of wary because he's not quite sure what's going on.
You can kind of tell Sinestro's a psycho.
Sinestro's kind of a one-note character in this movie. People gave Mark Strong a lot of credit and stuff, but he's exactly a one-note character. He's an entertaining character in a space opera, but he's a one-note character. And I like that Hal – Martin Reynolds gives you a real effort to kind of give you a dimension to how Hal would react to this kind of guy. And he's trying to stab this guy. This is a little ridiculous.
this is a training exercise.
Well, if he kills him, then he can easily say, all right, next recruit that's not from Earth.
This scene is good. I mean, obviously this scene is written just to show how Sinestro is a bigger badass for the sequel that isn't going to be made when they fight. It's kind of a intense fight.
No, Jeff Johns said near Comic-Con, we're probably going to make the sequel, guys.
He never said probably. He said there's still hope, but good for you, Jeff Johns. Hold out hope.
He didn't say there's
like
still hope. He said, I'm hopeful.
I think this scene actually is – this whole sequence is the best stuff in the movie for me, especially with the contracts. You whip the contracts back and forth. And I mean really, every scene after this with contracts should have been bigger than this, and that's another big problem with the movie. Yeah. Like, it never gets bigger than this. I like this a lot where Hal turns around.
I like that scene right here.
Where as soon as he pulls his – he just gets scared looking at Sinestro. That's pretty good because he just gets freaked out a little by the sword and he falls. The whole scene plays up. The momentum of the scene is really good. Is he crying?
Yes, because you're staring at me like a psychopath and you're going to kill me.
Are you crying? There's no crying in Green Lantern.
This is not the whining.
And I was trying to do a little bit of acting. He was my friend. But his contact lenses are so thick he can't really do the eye divert thing. Yeah.
I don't even think he can see.
Later.
You know,
where are you going to go?
The way he took off reminds me of Rise of the Manhunters.
Oh, the game, yeah. Every time they get into wide shot, it reminds me of the video game. And now Hal quits but is allowed to keep his ultra-powerful ring and also fights crime later.
Well, I think technically he has to have the ring to go home.
Well, he hasn't given him a two-week notice or anything. He's just like I got to
quit.
No, I
think he doesn't.
Can I just say, too, that this is another big problematic part of the movie. It's like he's confronted with these guys, and all he gets as soon as he shows up, a little bit of niceness, then unending hostility, and then is just beaten up by a succession of bigger, scarier dudes who keep telling him he's useless. And then he quits, and they're like, why would you quit? You got to stick it out. He's like, no, you guys keep telling me I'm an asshole, and you're beating me up. Why would I want to join your group? You know, like,
well, isn't that what the army does? Like they beat you up and tell you an asshole really until you don't quit.
They're not supposed to drop rocks on you and throw metal discs at your chest.
But they do.
That's what they do.
They can't beat you up anymore.
They can't physically.
Not anymore.
I'm sure they do sometimes.
Yeah, they can't do it anymore. They do.
They're not supposed to.
It used to be. Here's funny moment of Hal Jordan's character.
Why does he wear this jacket more? Not that I like that jacket. It's a little ridiculous.
Here we go again.
Wait, hold on. Saber, you mean the printer company from The Office?
Yes. That's exactly what we're talking about. And this Science scene,
building!
The same scene you've seen a million times. You know what bothers me the most about this scene? Not that we've seen it a million times. Not that – I mean, Peter Sarkar is actually okay in this scene. Not that it's like – it just reestablishes him as a nerd for the millionth time like we didn't know that already. That the guy calls him a loser and a freak. The only place in the world that being called a loser and a freak is – like legitimately hurtful is in Hollywood. I mean, nobody really cares about being called loser. Like, that's really every time you see a movie and someone gets called a freak, it's like the worst possible thing you could say, and it always leads to homicidal rage. You know, it's always the last thing they say. It's like, you stupid fucking piece of shit, goddamn cake biting freak. And then as soon as they say freak, it's like, well, now you're over the edge, buddy. That's a bit too much.
Well, he says it in his hair, so it's not as if.
No, I'm saying in terms of context of movies and stuff, it's a bit.
I love how they're treating these things like this is new information when this is pretty old information in terms of biology.
Well, he doesn't understand anything about science. He looks at Evan Sir, he's like, it could be a human. That's all he got from it. And senators are impressed. Senators in the United States of America are like, I can't believe you found out this information. You're amazing.
And there are things that are sized like bacteria but aren't bacteria. It's amazing.
Telekinesis, I always love telekinesis. Love it. Smash that.
Eric, the funny thing about this entire thing is I see you in the background of this movie for some reason.
Am I hiding? Is it me as Hector? Are you talking
about? Yeah, not Hector. There's a guy who looks exactly like you in the background in this movie.
I should have pointed him out. Now I'm never going to know. That's a look-see for you GL Core fans.
Because they definitely know how you look. Like. In order to find a picture of
but
Eric.
But that by the way, guys, a look-see for if you want to ever shoot up heroin. that's after Hammond showing you how to shoot up heroin.
I'm glad
how to do heroin. Peter Sarsgaard. That's a new series, web series coming out soon on YouTube.
Wow, look at that science being done.
Look at that science.
For the argument that this movie was supposed to be one of the big step forward for the DC comic universe and the fidelity to the comics and rebringing it, it's kind of like completely unlike a lot of aspects of the comics, you know? I mean, it really just brings over two or three things that Geoff Johns likes and everything else is kind of thrown to the wayside.
I love just yellow going onto the cells. Like, what is happening?
That's very science-y.
Science.
I love this guy's, like, statues. He's got a guy riding a horse and an eagle. Like, that's so a lot. And your office is so small for such big flags and statues, man. I love these expressions. What are we laughing about? I don't know. Yeah, it's laughing. We're all just laughing together. Having a good time.
I don't understand, Hector Hammond's, like, Walter White mustache.
It's because Hector had a mustache in the comics, so they had to give him a horrible mustache.
Wait, but they give him, like the Walter White from Breaking Bad mustache. Where, Bryan Cranston grew that mustache from Breaking Bad, like, to specifically look like he's impotent. Like, that is the specific.
That's what they're doing, exactly. They're trying to make it any way they can make this guy disgusting. Like, false receding hairline. Like, Peter Sarsgaard, not actually, despite what Kuhan believes, that great looking of a guy, you know. So they don't.
No, but he's not like an awful looking guy.
They don't need to make him so.
He looks decent.
All they need to add was some boils, a herpy, you know.
How mad is he? He's just so mad at his dad.
A herpy.
I like a herpy?
A single one.
I think I'd be called a cold sore.
A single herpy.
He was so disgusted at his dad here. He's like, how dare you give me the chance of a lifetime to elevate my career? Like, all of a sudden, this guy who's the biggest scumbag on earth is, like, upset about nepotism? Or he's just mad at his dad about something? I like how his dad randomly thinks, what a piece of shit, I fucking hate him. I wish I would have pulled out of his mother. And it's like, why would you just think of that in the middle of a conversation with the guy?
At the beginning, with the extended scene, he wasn't that evil to his son. It was just like, Hector taking it the wrong way.
Which, oh, yes, taking I hate you the wrong way.
Well, earlier in the movie,
he
was like, Hector, don't you want to go out with them?
He's guys,
like,
what about that cut?
This is
the edge of the Milky Way.
Guys.
How divided is
this? Here's the edge of the Milky Way.
They're the flying V, like the ducks.
Wow.
That's right, Brandon. Prime.
I like this scene because this scene is definitely like, hey, remember that trailer we showed you that implied the much more interesting movie? This is what that movie would have been like, but you're not going to get it.
Here we get Sinestro going like, my God, we failed.
Oh my God, that net didn't work.
That one net didn't work. So here he kills, I think he kills Stell.
So would that make Sinestro Gordon Bombay?
No, Isamat.
Isma Green Man? No. Isma Green Man, not Killoy, or it's not Killoy, that's somebody else. Does he kill everybody that was in Kelly's? Did that kill everybody there? Or did that just kill those four?
No, except for Sinestro. Because
Stell was there, and Hanu was there.
We should make a point to say
can you kill Stell with fear?
And already bitching.
Look at that. I love her. White girl.
What a horrible girl that was.
He was like, anyway, remember that exciting scene I just described to you? That's only half of it.
That was Ganthet.
You sure that's Ganthet? I guess so, right?
He's the one who's speaking, so it's probably Ganthet.
Yeah.
I just said that. It's weird.
That's
But yeah, I mean, I think this scene is interesting because, like, again, now he sees the broken column. And I think that's a good visual bit, but it's kind of like at no point he's like, the broken column! It's like, I just like, shit, yeah. Careers, you know?
Once we thought about using rage and compassion and greed, but we put those aside, but fear, that was a close one.
If you didn't, I feel like if you didn't get turned off by the whole personified will of the galaxy, you definitely get turned off by personified fear. Because I don't think that a rational person who has an understanding of the human behavior and has lived more than 3 years thinks that fear and will are like close to each other in any kind of like emotional output, you know? So I think this definitely is like the nothing in the never ending.
Well, you know? Okay, I guess I'm a 3-year-old.
It's better than the nasties.
Fear and will, I mean, I wouldn't say they go hand in hand, but they're sort of yin and yang.
You can make an argument as to why someone would have to have a lot of will to go overcome fear, but I don't think that's necessarily
the I think if you look at it basically, and I don't want to overcut the movie, but will is doing something and fear is not doing anything.
Fear is being afraid of something and will is doing something. They're almost like complete. I just feel like one's a passive action and one is an action. And you're describing a passive action versus the act of acting. And it's kind of like, I don't know. It's like will is not an emotion, I think, is really what we're getting to.
Yeah. Well, now anyway, we're more
talking. Look at this. White girl is like, yes, make the rain.
Make it rain.
She looks like Bea Arthur. That's what it is.
Back on Earth.
You believe me, don't you, B. Arthur?
Meanwhile, on Earth,
this scene, the most awkward scene in the whole
movie, is attending the Ferris game.
I don't understand why he needed a helicopter.
He's a
senator. He has to have a helicopter.
I thought it was some like famous cameo, but like
yeah, this band definitely should have been.
This guy's like, I didn't feel like wearing a Pez, so I just decided or Fez, so I just decided to grow one on my head.
Wear a Pez.
I feel like they're like, oh crap, we wanted James Brown in our movie, but he died, so now we gotta get someone else.
Oh, this scene is funny because this is the first scene in the original cut that you had any idea that they even remotely knew each other.
They being Hector and Ryan.
You know, they make Hector look even worse with the fact that they show him as almost unredeemable. Hal's trying to be a nice guy, but
the problem I like this scene a lot because he specifically say same old, same old, and that's funny because again, if the movie was structured the way that it sometimes was, they're both going through the same story, just at different ends of the different ends of the
emotional spectrum. Ha, ha, ha.
So would it have been better if we had seen, I don't know, the high school days of the three?
I had wished they did not have them relate at all as people that knew each other. Just let it not be some people that knew each other.
That would have been a lot better.
It wouldn't have confused it. It's an unnecessary lattice in the story work. I mean, it's kind of like the whole movie falls apart for dullness, really. I mean, people rip on this movie for being garbage, and what they're saying is, I mean, anybody, it's dull. It's a dull movie. It's got long stretches where nothing happens, and you're not really getting anything out of long stretches. And I think that's really what the main argument has been about this movie. And I think that's part of it. Part of it is just kind of like they're presenting you information and telling you things as opposed to kind of letting things develop. And that's the Hector storyline in a nutshell. You know?
Okay, you mentioned earlier that Carol is a bit bipolar in her character in this movie. And I thought this was the one scene where that clearly showed. It was like,
and now she's like, fuck you.
Like, no, you completely blew her off like a day ago, and now with one compliment of her dress, she's willing to talk to you again. And
you know, I think for me it's funny because he says, how did you manage to pull this off? And basically she just reiterates exactly what she said she was going to do earlier in the film. And he's like, how did you pull this off? She's like, this, this, and this. And basically Tom figured out to fix the problem that was a problem in the first place. So you didn't pull it off. Tom pulled it off. Like, just say that.
Credit stealing.
Let's mention that Hector is a martini, man. And martinis are for women.
Let's put it together.
And Andrew, right? And a good friend and guy who keeps the smiles up, Andrew.
I think that was the start of Peter Sarsgaard being, I can finally act in this movie, but, you know, he's kind of, I think.
The drinking?
this whole sequence because he acts big in this, and now he's like, I can act big the rest of the movie because I'm the big villain. And it's kind of like it works sometimes, but it's like it doesn't really fit the tone of the movie because the movie doesn't really have a consistent enough tone for there to be a guy who's big in two or three scenes. You know what I mean? Like over the top. You know, the villain in the movies. You know, he's kind of like, I'm going to be the Penguin in Batman Returns, and this movie that begins by way of Iron Man. You know, so. But yeah. And I love it. They're like, the rising star Carol. How does she do it? How is she moving so fast ahead in this business? Like, her dad owns it. There's no one else in the company. He just fired everybody else.
Oh, and he takes credit from everyone who does work.
Well, oh, like snipping the hair.
Weird.
Nom.
What a weirdo. Yeah.
I like this because it's so awkward because they're just having a conversation. All of a sudden, the conversation stops, and she says, yeah, so I know it must have been really rough growing up with your dad, but you seem fine. It's like, oh, my God, remember how your dad used to beat you? So messed up. You look good, though. I mean, like, who said that in the middle of a conversation? Again, you know, it's also information we don't need. Like, we don't need to know that she's sympathetic. It's just kind of like – because we're supposed to be like, oh, Tim Robbins was such a dick to him. How come everybody just let it happen? And it's kind of like, well, he wasn't really that big of a dick, and it's their business, really. So
that,
why would
what
we know
he just said on stage, that was a dick move.
It's definitely a dick move, but it's kind of like, why is she – I'm not really believing her sympathy.
That's your problem.
No, if you ignore someone's pain their whole life, and when they're at the party, they confront you and they're acting weird, you're like, oh, sorry, your dad beat you. It just seems like you're an asshole who knew about it the whole time.
It's if your friend who you've known all your life just got embarrassed, you're not going to show a little sympathy?
I think it's not like she shows sympathy. She just kind of started talking to him, and then the first thing that came to her head that they could talk about was her dad's abuse.
He had a very sad face, and if she didn't, it would have been really awkward.
He looked kind of drunk, actually, so he didn't look very sad. And he just taken off in the middle of the party. That's just not even safe. Like, this is not even safe.
Well, landing in the middle of a party wasn't safe.
An asshole. So, wait a second. He's
no, hovering over a crowded crowd is not safe.
Plot convenient accident.
I thought that Hector just couldn't, you know, mess up the propeller on its own. He had to throw something at it.
It seems a little whatever, but yeah.
Like,
well, he's still learning how to use his evil, devious powers.
Well, I mean, it looked like a alcoholic moment. Let me open this bar tap.
And my brilliant idea of killing my father will also kill everyone here.
First off, there's hundreds of people at this party. No one is going.
Have a danger sense.
Yeah, nope. Everyone is standing there like, my God, bees.
As a matter of fact, two or three characters ran to the accident. Now we get a close-up of Carol's ugly dad running away. And I think this is funny because Hal definitely leaves, and this is going on for a long ass time. And I've seen how fast you could change, bro.
Instantly, actually,
drum solo.
Literally instantly. Uh-huh. Hot Wheels leading the way.
Let's mention that Carol did save her father's life.
Well, he's ugly anyway.
She said somebody. Was that her dad?
I think it was Hector's dad.
It couldn't have been Hector's dad. Hector's dad's in the helicopter, man.
Didn't he fly out?
Okay. Oh, as we speak, he's still in the helicopter.
He's currently in the helicopter. He just
about the worst rescue I've ever seen. Why don't you stop the goddamn helicopter?
Yeah, I love how.
Yeah, right. Now, I love he's making it go further. Like he is making it go.
It's cute because they want to really take advantage of the contracts and stuff. It pulls you out of it because as you're watching it, he's endangering more people, and you're kind of.
Did it pull you out? I thought it looked great. I thought what he chose was just an inexperienced thing, not a bad script or anything.
And the fact that everybody's like, he basically took a helicopter.
Well, he doesn't know how to make, two concerts at once. He doesn't know how to do, multiple concerts at the same time or, able to.
What is Tom doing at the party?
In unison.
He works there.
He's like a technician. Like, come on.
He's the technician. Okay. He fixed the problem with the planes. He's the guy. He makes all the money.
If they didn't invite him, he'd probably quit.
But those are people that they're like, they're like, oh, yeah, hey, buddy, so we're having a party. You mind DJing or something? I don't know.
I think this is just Kuan saying he doesn't like the little people.
No, man. I love Tom. I just like find it weird that they're like, oh, LG product placement, guys.
You don't like the face?
Thanks, Green Lantern.
They show that to be like, oh, somebody's getting a video of him. He's going to be an internet sensation. That plot line goes away.
Yeah. I think that was the transition to the what was it? The newspaper montage they had in the first draft.
Except they now have another montage of Hector smashing his apartment because he has a headache. I do that too. When I get a headache, I pick my TV up and throw it out the window.
Man, they must have a lot of bills.
Well, I like this a lot.
What is that green thing?
The hamster wants to get away.
It's just some light. This is a cool effect. I like this. It's pretty freaky. I like this a lot because Peter Sarsgaard screams and lets his voice crack when he screams, and it even kind of hurts the soundtrack a little. And I think 9 times out of 10 when you watch movies, guys who scream make a point to scream like they make a point to have their voices deep when they scream, you know, because they don't want to sound like sissies. And he can get away with it, I guess, because he's supposed to be the skeezy villain.
Is it just me, or does Parallax just look like directly at the screen? Like, hey, guys.
What's up? He does. He's looking at you.
Just right, I'm still here. He's like,
I'm still
see,
a villain in
this
movie.
Is because of me. This is my influence. And now
I like the reveal, too. I like the reveal, too. He just turns the light on.
That is a horrible picture of her.
You mean that is a picture of her?
Such a creeper.
Hey-o. Anyways.
How come his hair got longer, but not his mustache? That bothers me. Now Hal's sleeping out a night of doing nothing good for the world. And I like how Tom's like, talk. And Hal's like, what do you mean, talk? And how come Tom looks like a bomb just went off in his face in this scene?
Okay, a whole night of doing nothing?
So you
would have what?
Tom was up
that
all night.
To
I probably would have gone and fought crime or something.
Really?
Absolutely, I would have. I wouldn't have been sitting around like an asshole. This movie's 90% of Hal sitting around like an asshole.
Bullshit.
Why would every other superhero does in every movie? They save a bunch of people.
Yeah, but you wouldn't do that.
What does it matter what I would do? And second off, what are you talking about?
You just got on him for not doing
it. I'm complaining about a character in a film who's a superhero for not being a superhero, and you're saying I should be a superhero?
Yeah.
Wait.
Eric, go be Batman right now.
Don't judge him for being a bad superhero.
Here's the big reveal of the costume again.
Yeah.
No, I like how sexy his outfit is in front of Tom here, and Tom's like so salacious for it. He's like, oh,
I love them
put it on.
This is where it's like,
I wanna be
why was he so hesitant to show Tom? Tom was the first guy he called about the spaceship and shit, you know?
Nope. The and double fake.
Flat joke. And this is a joke. This always reminds me of Anchorman. Anchorman, that part where Anchorman reads the teleprompter and says, I'm Ron Burgundy? And the guy says, damn it, Ron will read anything you put on the teleprompter. And the joke is just so that an hour later when they have the teleprompter joke, they can establish it. So this is Hal uses the ring to let you know that it doesn't always stay charged. And they never reference that again in the rest of the movie. Like, they don't do anything. Like, they don't have the web shooters run out. They don't have the energy runs out.
Check off blue balls?
Yeah, exactly. I'm out of batarangs. Doesn't happen the whole movie. I know right is the best part of the movie.
Yeah. I think the costume looks really shit right here.
It's the big effect here is that he's breathing and it's moving when he breathes. That's the big effect right here in the scene.
Maybe it's the light. Maybe if it's darker, the costume.
That's
looks
why better. The movie is 90% in the fucking dark because they can't figure out how to light the costume. Worst line in the movie comes right here. Ready for it?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Ruining the scene. How do you get the one halfway decent scene in an hour?
Yeah, we remember it.
He completely ruined that scene. I love this, though. I love Carol in this scene.
I think her...
I
love Carol in every scene, Brian.
I do not. I want to say her reaction to this is a funny reaction if it was played funnily. She kind of plays it like she's lost in the woods. Like,
funnily.
I think,
funnily.
Funnily.
So, like, who's, like, sits in, like, a, you know, like, that nice dress at work, you know, like...
Cocktail dress.
Yeah, like, in a cocktail just sitting there working.
Hi, haters.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's like she's sitting there in a cocktail dress at work. Like, who does that?
They overdo the eyeshadow thing. They design his mask look like the false eyeshadow that they put on a lot of superheroes. You know how Batman has to paint his eyes black around the, you know, with eyeshadow and stuff when he wears the mask?
They because do it's so huge.
But it's too big! Yeah. This scene doesn't make any... I thought this scene she knew was Hal. Halfway through when she realized it's Hal, I'm like, whoa, you were actually acting like that? You were actually just sopping wet all over this guy, like, for no reason? Hal, oh my god, I've known you since we were kids.
I've seen you naked. Like, what? Also, she can't see, like, how could she not see his cheekbones? I can see his cheekbones.
Yeah, I can see his cheekbones.
It's just making fun of the fact that
but
every
time he's been given away because everyone else in the world has pompadours in this universe. He does look scary as fuck there.
Yeah, well, I mean, he could be a woman, too. Or Hester Hammond.
Here he says there's no such thing as magic, but then he makes a joke about how essentially what he's doing is magic. He also says, happy birthday. Did she mention it was her birthday at any point during the movie, or is that just some awkward line from some old draft or something?
No, because he missed her birthday last time, so he's saying happy birthday.
Oh, right. In the bar scene, he says he missed her birthday or something, right?
Yeah.
Now I remember that was like a decade ago in this movie. I think this scene kind of proves that he should have had white gloves.
The suit looks so weird in this light. I'm sorry.
I think the white gloves counteract a lot of the green, and I think people kind of made fun of the white gloves, but he just looks like he's covered in vomit sometimes.
I think we should mention that we're almost an hour and a half into this movie, and we've got about, what, 9 minutes of extended cut?
No, there's 9 minutes total. There's 9 minutes total of extended cut, right?
I think we're done. I don't think there's any more extended cuts.
Yeah, it's done, and it was all at the beginning with Lil Hal. Lil Harold.
Am I the only one who loves the fact that Hal doesn't do anything worth of merit until taking out Parallax?
He doesn't do – yeah, he doesn't – that's what I was complaining about. He doesn't do any superhero in the movie. It's kind of like – that's what pulls me – like the Iron Man movies. The Iron Man movies, they talk so much about how he brought about world peace in Iron Man 2. All he does is he gets on a racetrack, and then he fist fights a bunch of dudes who are crashing his house at the end. I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of like – not to be like a kid about it, but these superheroes should do some fucking superhero, you know?
Okay, well, not to
– He defeats both Hector Hammond and Parallax at the same time for his first victory.
And even Hammond, he loses to him the first couple of times.
Okay, but he did save the day, right?
He did not save the day the first time.
He did not kill Parallax?
He saved the day at the end, yeah, but he
all right, then.
Tom Robbins.
Was it day or was it not saved?
Yeah, no, he did do one nice thing at the end of the movie, that's true.
Wait. No. You know what we should be talking about? It's still the fact that apparently Hal is admitting the fact that he gave up being a Green Lantern.
And yet he's doing it. Like, he just hung a lampshade on the seat. Yeah.
Or how about the fact that he gave her a birthday gift that has to go away 2 seconds
later? Right, yeah, right.
It's
his ability not to commit.
This is first thing.
You have the ability to not commit.
I would have bought you real diamonds, but you fired me.
I feel bad for you. I didn't really
want to commit to buying diamonds.
Well, she's not even fired. Like everybody else got fired, even though it was his fault, and she made him keep his job.
Here's the scene where she cries over how sad how.
Yeah, that's right.
Life is.
Tal Ferris is like, "How can I set feminism back any further than I can by wearing a cocktail dress to work in the middle of the night? I'm gonna cry about him not having any choices about not having any options about his future. Oh, he doesn't want to grow up. I'm gonna cry."
It's not that. It's that he has to go do something else instead of be with her.
That's not what she's crying about. She literally tells
I think she's crying about because of the fact that he's a pathetic bum.
That would be even
exactly.
Worse.
She's crying because he's pathetic. Don't. Thank you.
Exactly right.
So how is that not caring about him?
I didn't say that. I said it was setting feminism back.
How is that? How is caring about someone? Never mind. I don't care.
It's not. It generally is not setting feminism back. Science building. Just so you know.
He is.
Yeah, right. Here's some more science going on.
Yeah, this is he's kind of a champion of the visual effects in this film. He looks disgusting. It's awesome. He looks like a testicle. Anytime he hugs somebody, he's dead.
My testicle doesn't look like that. Sorry.
Wait, too many now,
here's a DEO showing up. Here's a DEO showing up again without any probable cause.
No, they're evil. Here's now again superfluous bit number 9 in this movie. This whole sequence, not just her flashback, is a superfluous bit. I think him specifically saying, "I can read your memories if I touch you," ha ha, and then they just cut to him in the place like he went along willingly. They just did this to give you some kind of establishment of
mnemonic trigger. Oh my,
yeah,
that's really poor.
Just a bad idea. They didn't need to do that. Why not just grab her and have some kind of cryptic bit of dialogue? Like,
memories.
I know.
Memories.
Don't forget, I can read your mind. I know why you're here. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. Say some kind of weird, cool, cryptic shit, and then have people go, "What the fuck is he talking about? This woman must have a mysterious and interesting past." And then instead, we find out her family was shot, so now she's a scientist.
Let's explain every detail.
Toodaloo.
Yeah. Now, see, like I said, he's being big here. He's like, "I'm Danny DeVito," and it's like, this is not a Danny DeVito movie. Sometimes.
It should be.
He's gonna play this fitted like a harp from hell.
That looks a lot like me, actually.
Oh, did Angela Bassett put you up to this?
I have the same. Look at
his
brother.
You think he'd be holding his head? Not
his brother, right there. He's got his own brother here to kill him on his left.
He's losing motor functions. That's what's going on.
Which would be cool, like if he stuck around, you know, like in the. You know, it's a sequel or something, but nope, it's just like losing water functions, whatever.
It looks like he's about to throw up.
Tim Robbins here, legitimately like, "I care about you and your feelings and shit." Yeah, and now they're like, "We had another scientist look at the thing you looked at, and we realized that there's more shit happening to you than we thought." And it's like,
we had a real scientist look at what you're looking at.
Why did you even waste my time? Like, do you even know you're in the middle of a movie here? You have to tell us what's happening in the plot? No, not my own brother stabbed me in the neck with a syringe.
I think that's the poor, real scientist.
Poor real scientist. Look at that.
It's like, that's what they meant to get when they picked him up. They're like, "Oh, fuck, another bald, giant-headed, receding guy." And now here's Hal doing nothing again for the rest of the movie.
Well, wow. His ring didn't go off, so maybe there's nothing to do.
No, he changes
nothing in the universe.
No changes in the ring, yeah.
So, like, if a policeman's patrolling, he's like, "My radio didn't go off. I'm not going to find you."
Or maybe it's because he didn't complete training. So.
There it is.
Here's my spider sense. also something I got from Spider-Man.
Don't you love that in this entire movie, nothing happens off-Earth, apparently. It's just all Earth.
I like how he got the Spider-Sense in his Green Lantern movie, and also has a Spider-Man plot and themes in his Green Lantern movie.
Well, oh, heck,
all the way down to chasing the bus in the morning.
We're coming here.
Yeah.
Spider-Lantern Green Man.
Responsibility.
Just need to run some tests and we're going to kill you.
Does anybody like the white eyes of hell that just went by?
I like that they try to incorporate it. It makes him look scary as hell, but I don't mind. He's got ginger psychic powers, let's put him under. Why not just put him under? Just signal, you know, tiny Hector over there to do it.
Well, they know.
Did you see like how he had his tongue like out of his, hanging out of his mouth?
Tiny
like,
Hector can't explain it anymore.
Here's another really strong action sequence in the movie, only because of how like visceral it is.
The burning?
This is not really that big of a... not really big of an action sequence. I'm sorry. Hector not much there.
I thought it was a great scene. I don't think it's that big of a deal, though.
Or Amanda.
No, it's a well-put-together action scene. The action scene is a movie about 12 seconds long. Him throwing these guys around is pretty cool. And then the guys try to tase him, and he blocks it.
Run.
I'm going to see our arms.
I love how he's got the focus and how it doesn't have the focus.
Yeah,
like, he's able to keep needles in the several people and her smashed into a glass, but Hal can barely make a Hot Wheels track.
Oh, it would be nice if they played it up a little more, because there's a whole sequence later where Hal
can barely make a slink.
Where Hal specifically makes a point to be like, oh man, if you dig into the fear power, you're really going to fuck up your life. And like, I've not seen any of the evidence of that. I've seen one testicle-headed guy use the power for evil. Like, guys can't use it right. Another big superhero fight in the movie. What are we, 2.5 hours?
We are still a minute left from
here's where the last time we see Angela Bassett.
Drowns in the hallway.
I like that effect that he can actually just create liquid with that.
That was pretty cool. And this here, you see he makes a flamethrower with it too. So you know,
yeah, I don't like the fact that it's red, though.
Well, I don't understand why the
fire is flame. Oh, molten glass.
Yeah, that's cool. He made him a cat.
There's the yell.
The Fozzie yell? Yeah.
Yeah, it's looking more George of the Jungle. Oh, yeah.
Hal, it's called blocking.
You just showed your age right there, come on. A George of the Jungle reference.
And now Hal lays down.
Didn't I say like at the beginning of this that I was born in 1993?
Yeah, still.
Oh, yeah, here's. They both lay down.
Yeah. Just to show you how exciting this movie is during
the
first
age. It's the way it ends that's so horrible. It's just like, alright, next scene. It's like,
yeah, isn't that how this movie works? So it's like, oh, things happen. Next scene. Next scene.
Just to show you how exciting this movie is, the first major supervillain battle in the movie ends with two guys laying down, touching each other.
Well, here's another scene that you were saying there before that he never uses the power to touch somebody else and learn their memories again.
No, he uses it here. But he doesn't really, and he gets sort of some kind of connection to it, but. It doesn't really. It's like obviously, yeah. Like I said, it's like
it doesn't really perpetuate it.
Yeah, it doesn't.
The sit down part, I thought that was cool. Too Joker for me.
I thought that was pretty good actually, because because I think when you see him fall, you're not sure if he fell on purpose, and then you're like, after that, you're like, oh, he did fall on purpose. That's actually kind of cool that he's just deliberately laying down the entire fight.
He's just messing with the house.
I mean, obviously, he's limited motor functions at this point too. But I think the idea is that he's just so like orgiastic with the power that he's like, you know. Completely kicks Hal's ass.
I didn't get any of that. Especially in theaters, I definitely didn't get any of that.
Yeah.
I just thought, oh, now they're on the ground.
And again, we're supposed to, I guess, assume Hal's trying to break out of this control, and the only reason we know that is because I guess the suit is lighting up and stuff, so we know he's
trying. Well, that and Hector's still bragging.
I used to fight my fear.
No, I mean he's trying. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if I'm going to kill my dad, I would probably say something more contextual to that as opposed to...
A little less cliche?
Yeah, general megalomaniacal nonsense I read in a book somewhere, yeah. I thought it was, in the hot box, Tim Robbins.
Oh, that looked so bad.
Yeah, it's pretty cheesy.
Maybe he's trying to recreate some high school plays.
I mean, it would have looked awesome if this was, I don't know, Top Gun, you know.
From the 80s.
Yeah. In a movie for kids, I guess, you can't really actually show
them. Yeah, where they cut away from the violence, yeah.
This too, it's like, y'all.
Okay, you tasted, you gave me your fear, here's my will.
Ah, oh, the giant cloud, man.
Space face! I actually like the conflict in this movie. I do, but,
I love Steel Wool. Like, Steel Wool is an awful, awful enemy, though.
I like it.
Touch nothing but the lamp!
Like, it implies that the Lantern who imprisoned Chronolax was Abin Sur. So, like, how long ago would that have happened? Like, 10 years ago?
It was not that long
ago. Like, Sinestro didn't just missed it?
Yeah. Yeah, he's
out for lunch.
I think it's just the idea we were supposed to get, or hopefully would have been implied some other time, was that Abin Sur was kind of like the errand boy for the Guardians, and he was like...
Where did he go?
Well, yeah, but nobody noticed that a Guardian disappeared in this entire time.
I know. It really only happened like a decade ago. Yeah, it's a good point. Though it could have been Parallax was running around for a while without...
Whatever. I mean, it could possibly be that, you know, like, one of Abin Sur's predecessors had done it.
It's a huge discrepancy in the film. And I love Hector can barely move, and yet Hal wipes his eyes and he's gone. Just so we can get to this scene, which is, again, redundant. He has both characters in here. He can say both.
I mean, I do like that Tom, you know, Tom keeps showing up as opposed to, like, other movies where he would have just disappeared after, like, the first scene and then never shown up again, ever.
But I think Tom is the character that proves to you why those characters just disappear. It's like, what are you doing here?
I forget which movie it was, but, like, some character, like a best friend who, like, is in one scene, and then he just never shows up again, like, his best friend.
Yeah, it's my best friend. I don't care.
Wait. There's the part in the movie where, you know, we're getting to Hal's characterization of he's afraid and has to overcome his fear. He's afraid of stuff.
He's afraid of being afraid of fear. Yeah.
We have nothing left to fear but fear itself.
And then here's some brilliant dialogue from Blake Lively.
Stiff dialogue.
Here it is.
Delivered as awfully as you can.
You can't have stiff dialogue delivered by Blake Lively.
You can.
Not about being fearless. Overcome great fear.
It's kind of like she was like, how can I make this wood woodier? And she really did. She worked at it. She worked at it to make the lines.
Like, that is the most ridiculous thing. Like Blake Lively came up with the idea of overcome great fear. Like, really? It was Carol Ferris that's who came up with that?
You know, it's one of those because they want to, again, she doesn't exist except to explain to Hal exactly what he's supposed to be doing in the next scene and what his emotional content is, as opposed to demonstrating it to us and stuff. And I think this scene, I think, is definitely where everyone in the movie checks out. Like, I think all the audience, if they've been interested in the movie to this point, they're done at this point. Like, this is an hour and a half in. They're like, are you really saying fear for the 150th time in this movie? We're done. You know? And, like, it just, you know, you are so courageous. It's like, it's awful. I mean, and Tom just vanishes.
Yeah, like, Tom is just standing there, like, he's the entire time, just there.
It must have been
like, I got nothing to say.
But again, like, at least he's just there, as opposed to just gone. I don't know.
And again, it's kind of like Carol should get, like, some kind of life or something. This guy's...
I like how all the sets of this movie involve mostly Hector Amon's bedroom and Hal Jordan's windows.
Yeah.
And Carol's office.
This scene here... this was a scene where I guess if you guys check out
those ears.
Yeah, I don't like her at all.
That looked like Betty traditional White. Animation. That looked like they just drew it like on a piece of paper and then just
give me some Betty White, bro. This is the
they don't give us enough tombs. About the crypt.
What I thought it was
well, there's a deleted scene about the crypts that actually was the first iteration of the scene of Hal arguing with Sinestro where he's going to talk to the Guardians. But this is one of the things where it's on the DVD, so you must know this yellow ring stuff was kind of thrown in towards the end of filming, which is weird. You think that would have been in the movie the whole time. But because this scene can't exist with the deleted scene. It's one of the reasons why the deleted scene wasn't included, you suppose. But in the deleted scene, you see Morphicus or whatever – not Morphicus. Whatever the guy who runs the Crypts is called. Anyway, I kind of like this scene, not for nothing, except for the dialogue.
I like the scene except for when they talk.
When he's explaining.
I like the idea of him going there and saying,
when he's
like,
explaining to them how they're afraid.
I know. It's like, you guys have been around for billions of years. I like him going there, and it's kind of illogical because he goes there and he says, get me help. And they're like, no. He's like, well, then let me fight them alone. They're like, we didn't stop you. We didn't ask you to come here. You were there already, right? You quit. We let you go. I mean,
you know, I think this thing would have been a lot stronger for me if Sinestro had interrupted him and said, this guy just quit like 2 days ago.
Or something like
don't listen to him. He's a coward.
I think nobody's like, no. I think nobody knows that he quit except for Tomar Ray and Kilowog. And Killian told Tomar and Kilowog, then like just left. Like, all right, fuck it. Like, whatever. We don't want to.
Yes, I've seen the only person who ever gave it a fear ever.
And they don't really discuss what the deal is with patrolling sectors in this movie too. That should have been a big thing. That it should have been like you have to go out into space and patrol, and it's kind of implied but never stated. And he definitely said afraid three or four times in a row in the same sentence there. And that's
first even mature afraid. And you're blue, too.
Deeply weak writing. And some of the stuff is verbatim from Jeff Johns' storylines.
So Colton said you're blue, and Eric's just saying deep, and I thought he was saying dib dabba dee dabba die.
Oh, right.
I'm blue.
But, yeah, so I think, like I said, this scene is kind of awkward for that. I like the idea that he's kind of like, well, I'm going to go kick his ass alone, and that's pretty cool. But I don't know. It's like you sucked so much earlier. Where are you going to pull this out of your ass? asshead right there. Is that Saeed? Who's that? That's not Ganthe, right?
That's supposed to be Saeed.
That's B. Arthur.
I love how
hey guys, you're the immortal guardian of the universe. How about you help me fight this thing?
Yeah, again, like I said, he does a 12-minute speech, join me, and then they're like, we are not going to join you. He's like, then let me do it. It's like, we are going to let you do it. Please, go ahead. And I think Sinestro doesn't argue because we're supposed to get – this is finally the point where Sinestro is like
– you will die, Hal Jordan.
Yeah, Sinestro respect finally – like, he listens and he's like – exactly. He's like, all right, well, this is – you know, the whole movie we fucking hated each other, so this is the one point I'm respecting you and stuff. And Mark Strong does that Mark Strong thing. I don't know if you guys noticed about Mark Strong's acting. He moves his neck a lot when he acts, but he doesn't move in more than one direction. Like if he has to move diagonally, he moves up and then left. So next time you guys want to check out this movie, check that out.
I don't want to do that.
Danger sense.
Hey, my danger sense. Good thing this is happening. The one or two times a year I have to fight crime.
The only time this thing ever goes off seems to be when Hector Hammond or Parallax does something.
Yeah, it's a good thing he gets rid of those guys so he can retire.
Well, maybe it's just the ring.
Or a helicopter falls.
Acting out Abin Sur's last.
I don't think the helicopter. I don't think
it will. I love Steel Wool.
How did he not run into Parallax on the way?
You know, I've always wondered. I've seen a lot of
Parallax is like hovering over China.
I've seen a lot of spy shows. I'm wondering, with that roll slide out computer thing, that's awesome. Is that like a thing? I love that. I see that.
I think it's a military.
That was on like 24. That was on
24. It was in like this this British TV show and stuff. It's cool. Anyway, this is funny.
Oh, there's Hector Mana.
You should do it anyway, man. It's probably fine. Oh, so much ball on his head right there.
But really? Can he not just like
be reckless?
He used to say I didn't have any balls.
Can he not just
now
use,
look at me?
Now I got like one giant ball in my head.
Now I am balls.
Can he not just use his ring to like, you know, like.
Separate it.
Cover her and then not the fucking thing and pull her away from it.
He could and he should, but he doesn't.
I mean, I like this scene too because it's funny because the character Hal really does change at the end of the movie, which is interesting because, you know, a lot of characters don't change. They just stay the same the whole movie. But his change is so dramatic and so instant and it's so – the actual growth is so – he doesn't do anything. And so right after Blake Lively says fear 60 times in his face and then all of a sudden he's a brand new character. And
speaking of which, I was like, what was Carol doing to be dressed in that dress? Like,
again, cocktail dress in the middle of the night. What is she doing?
She worked like –
okay, that is not a cocktail dress.
Maybe we can assume that Hector's just creepy and made her change.
And neither was the last dress.
Like that. I mean, you're making fun of Hector for drinking martinis and you're telling me what a cocktail dress is. I just think that's funny. He's yellower now, which is kind of cool. On Blu-ray, I noticed that. They kind of give him a yellow pale to his pallor. To his skin.
I hate the fact that the needle is so CG.
Yeah, you can't ever. Yeah. Like, I don't like that, you know, Carol's being rescued. It's kind of like a prerequisite for these movies, but it's like.
Well, I think a lot of. We discussed this when we first reviewed the movie. That eventually, you know, she gets her little part in this.
Which everybody does. I think I was talking to somebody about it too. They were saying that they didn't like that she got. And I was like, well, what about the part where she gets the robot planes to blow it up? And you know, they were like, that doesn't matter. That's just something they give the women at the end of all these sequences. Like, once in a while, they get to throw a rocket venom, you know, but that doesn't mean they're not. Like, she doesn't show up in a gun and take Hector out, you know. She helps a little bit for a second.
I think it's logical that if you're going to take a damsel that. She would be in distress that if this shit happened.
It's traditional or it's stereotypical, but it's not law. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you don't have to have this. Why can't, you know, you don't even have to have this confrontation. I mean, it's just the idea of like, you expect to see it in a movie, so it happens.
You know? What was Hal looking at that point?
Yeah, what is he looking at? I guess it got dark. It got dark. Yeah.
What did everybody think about this scene? And, I don't know, the walking.
I don't know, the walking. Head.
I think it's kind of cool. I like this. It's just – it's a little – it's – it doesn't make it – Hal can control the ring to the point where he can make it blast Hector when he's not wearing the ring, but he can't pull the ring off his finger and pull it to him.
Well, here's the thing. If I'm Hector and I've already got the telekinesis and the memory thing, am I really just going to turn around and blast him? Well, I'm not,
I know. It's like
– why just kill Hal?
Or why not just make a construct? Like, we can really see what Hector wants. Like, all of a sudden he makes a construct of Carol or 35 Carols or something, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of a waste opportunity here. Plus, it's funny, Hal gives this big speech about kind of trying to turn Hector around, and it turns out it was all bullshit just to get him to grab the ring so he can knock his ass into some consoles.
Yep.
Total dick. Screw you, you crippled bastard! You're going to go to crippled hell with
your final hope.
Yeah. And what is the lesson we learned from this? Now, 2 seconds from now, Hector is murdered.
Oh, shit.
Know, just by his other space dad. You know, space face daddy eats him in the middle of the street, you know, or the middle, I'm sorry, middle street, middle of this building right here. For what? I mean, what does Hector learn? We learned that Hector was ugly and stupid and pervy his whole life, and he deserved it, you know?
He didn't deserve it. He deserved death, maybe.
He got it.
Well, he killed some people, so he's the bad guy. Yeah. Look at that. It's
steel
all,
wool. It's
I like it. I just think it's an obvious bunch of souls or something. I mean, it's kind of unclear what he does to people when he eats them. He pulls their skeletons out. It's like that song from the Twilight soundtrack with Paramore. You know, I'm a human. I've got a skeleton in me.
If they're pulling out their fear, shouldn't he be putting a skeleton into them?
No.
Give them a spine?
It's a metaphor.
He's eating their backbone.
He's eating them.
No, if he was eating their will, he'd pull their backbone.
Not like he's like, you failed me. It's like, he was doing fine, actually. Like, he was probably going to win the fight. Like, he's won a couple of times against this guy already, you know?
Well, no.
Plus, he's obviously more powerful.
He did kind of lose it.
Perlis got one move.
Now, Jordan, you almost had it.
He still had the ring back. So Hector could have just thrown the ring away and ripped Hal's head off with his telekinesis.
I don't understand how he could have fooled Hector but not been able to get his ring back without running towards it.
I was just saying that. And here's Carol's quote.
He's still a rookie.
But and obviously here, Hal's supposed to have overcome fear at this point, right? But he doesn't really until he says the oath for no reason in the end, right?
No, he doesn't overcome fear.
He doesn't really overcome fear yet.
They talk on the balcony.
Even then, I think he doesn't overcome fear until Parallax tells him fear 65 times to his face when he's in the bubble.
He just gets annoyed.
I like this. Parallax actually has less power than Hector, if you think about it. He's just a big guy who sucks people's fear up.
Totally not a cocktail dress.
Yep.
Fly away. Another deleted scene was an alternate version of I don't know if you guys care about deleted scenes, but I guess we'll talk about it. But there's a deleted scene, an alternate scene of Hal saving Carol. He drops her off at some school or something and then says, like, you know, sitting here, and she's like, but all right, and then she does.
Wow, that sounds really exciting.
It's just as exciting as this scene, which completely put me to sleep. Another scene where she begged Hal to fight Parallax not 10 minutes ago and is now begging him not to. Yeah.
That's not what she said.
Real consistent.
Bipolar.
She asked him, what is he going to do? That's it.
He's like, you'll die.
He has no idea.
I'm crying. I'm so...
I'm crying for your choices.
She's like, I'm not crying. I'm just sweaty in my eyes. She's like, this is worse than the time I was upset. She's like, I'm more upset about that time. I was upset about that time where you didn't get the ice cream you wanted. Later, Gator.
I'm acting.
And how humanity dies.
There's a shot here where this cop pulls up here, and this woman gets – look at this woman on the left.
She gets
she's so
angry.
Mad.
She's like, oh. Yeah.
It's like, fuck you, cop car. Like,
I love
I'm trying to stand in the middle of
the
street.
Yeah.
Fight your own crime, asshole.
Nah,
people
are a lot smarter than the helicopter people at the party.
Well, still.
No. They should have ran.
There was a giant smoke cloud above the city for a while, and they were looking at it. They waited until it started attacking their parking lots to do anything
about it. Now, this is the point where I probably would have just sat in my car and, like, fuck it.
He doesn't seem to be going in any of the windows.
Take me, Lord.
Oh, he goes in windows.
And now Hal is, like, not that far away. I mean, he's just letting this happen. He's like, oh, yeah, crazy. I'm going to talk to Carol about my feelings some more. Even in the moment of need, he's still, like, talking about his non-existent feelings. And now it's funny. It's interesting because they do the thing they do in every movie, right, where there's the one victim that needs to be saved. And I guess it's kind of unique that they pick a middle-aged woman who's a minority who I guess was helping a school bus full of children do something.
Well, they had to get rid of the you don't help the black people thing early on.
Usually it's a kid or it's like a bunch of half-naked women.
But look, I got this.
This woman, he's like, I'm going to breathe fire on them. This woman is going to get fucking fire in her face.
Spring.
This is pretty cool.
Oh. Actually.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned earlier that Construct should be bigger as the movie goes on. I thought this was pretty dope.
That's cool, and then that's about it from here on out. And why does he need that thing to blow up on it, honestly? Why can't he just blow it up? This is pretty sick.
Oh, riot shield, that wasn't a good idea.
I love shots where people get thrown around. I'll watch any movie where people are getting thrown into cars and shit.
And that's it. This is where the movie pretty much stops for me.
Yeah, I like this whole part. I kind of like this part.
No, I don't. I didn't like
Except
this part.
He says because it was, it's like, again, like it's almost like the only reason I'm going to beat you is because you accuse me of being a chicken.
I feel your fear,
there
girl.
We go. There's the oaf.
The rage will reach out and consume
your puppies.
He's like, Hal, you're
a chicken. I'm a kid, your son.
And Hal's like, no one calls me chicken.
And then I'm going to eat Fern Gully.
He's Marty McFly. Okay.
Oh, this scene is a pretty good. I like this.
I think that you guys don't have the subtitles on.
Do we need to?
No. I mean, I'm just saying. You guys are making up your own dialogue, and I'm actually reading the whatever. Just saying.
This movie.
Just saying.
Oh, I don't think he actually tells him. About Fern Gully.
The one thing I don't like about this dub action.
I think Fern Gully was taking the script.
Okay, fan, clear the way.
Well, here's like all the souls from Constantine. Get out of here. Oh, that looks like shit. That looks like actual shit for once.
You mentioned earlier that was your point where you think the audience checked. I think this was my point where they just say, all right, let's take it to space. And it's like, all right, this is lame.
I thought it was epic.
You're watching MTV, all music, all the time.
I kept expecting the core to come down and save the day, but...
Yeah, I like that he does it by himself, even though it kind of misses...
I wanted that, too.
No, but I think it's cool he does it by himself. I think the problem with this scene is that it completely flies... It's like, the movie's
the asteroid belt.
So it completely flies in the face of science. Like, there's no way he's in an asteroid belt. All of a sudden, he's near the sun? I mean, that's ridiculous. You know how far away the sun is?
He skipped Mars and went straight to the asteroid belt.
Well, obviously this is a montage. This is not the whole battle. You know, we're skipping scenes for no reason.
Yeah, because remember, Parallax moves slow.
why would Parallax, like, it's millions of years old? It's billions of years old. It would know.
Why is the sun that big?
And how come no one's ever thought to throw it in the sun before? How come they imprisoned it in the lost sector when they could have just thrown it into the sun? It was docile.
No one thought of that until apparently Kilowog said his thing.
I do want to say it's been a long time since I've seen a movie where somebody threw somebody else into the sun, so that's pretty awesome.
The Jets. I like the Jets.
You gotta pick the Jets. Eventually.
Yeah, very, very Star Wars.
I'm glad they did fists, but no boxing gloves. Kind of lame.
It looks like the Jet Pods.
Like I said, this is epic, and you don't see superheroes fighting giant monsters at the end of their movies very often.
That's true.
Hellboy, you saw it, but it kind of sucked, and it wasn't that big, you know?
I think when he takes off the pads and finally gets up the courage to punch the thing, I think that took away from the fact that he's got fucking jets behind him.
No, I think that's cool, because it's just a way to finish it off.
I really don't understand this part.
What, the gravity?
Gravity.
It can't shoot its fire out. It's stuck in the gravitational
field. The gravity's weird.
It's not. He specifically frames it as you're heavier than me, so you're gonna fall into the sun first.
Well, I mean, he's got all them tentacles. He could at least grab them.
He could at least said something trash talky while he threw ass in the sun, motherfucker. Like some motherfuckers are always kind of ice skate up.
You know, at least he burned before he touched the surface of the sun, because that's true physically. The surrounding area of the sun's hotter than the actual surface of the sun.
Vaguely scientific. And these guys show up like, we saw that. That was pretty cool.
That was cool. We're just going to save you. But that was all right. Let's not mention the fact that we were just watching.
The whole time we were just watching.
Yo, this one guy saved the day. None of like us, not movie. Even the entire crew, rolled that off.
Tomar was reading James Patterson, and he wasn't looking. But
Hal, you ever heard of this popcorn thing? It is delicious. You should try it one time.
I was at the concession stand, Hal. I'm sorry.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I would have been really mad at Kilowog, because he ain't did nothing but punch me.
Yeah, I don't know why they're all such fucking chicken shits. Like, you know, they're probably trying to get there to help, and then they got there like, oh shit, well I guess you got this. No problem.
Yeah, he's got this.
And now there's this
guy
is one of the
got
part.
It.
I like I said, I like the way he finished off Parallax, and I like that he fought Parallax, and I like that. In the theater, that was actually pretty cool to see that on a big screen, because that face was huge, but I could see why it would bother people, because I think we all expected, even from the script, we all expected the more guys to show up, but it does make Hal seem like finally does something badass in the movie.
I don't look at it that way. I mean, in theory, yeah, it's cool, but I think that punch was just so anticlimactic for me.
I needed to see him hit him one more time, so I'm glad that happened. I think this is good. I think my problem is this scene where he says, you're this and this, just like Abin Sur. It's like we got none of that from Abin Sur. And as a matter of fact, if we're following the storyline correctly, Abin Sur was the biggest yes man the Guardians ever had. So, I mean, you know, he was able to keep their secret of their secret guardian for so long. You know, and yet, whatever. I don't, it reminds me of the they knew Hector since they were kids, unnecessary characterization bit. Oh, there's Boudicca right there for a second. And then the same.
I think that would have been.
Just imagine how many. Just imagine how many planets that kills. How many people just get wiped out from that giant solar beam?
I guess by this movie,
in their cocktail dress.
Another in the early morning, wearing another.
Costume. Oh my god! Go to hell.
Those pants.
Does it burn his jacket, or does it just like go over his jacket? Like, does it put his jacket into a subspace dimension?
Yes, subspace. All of the above.
All subspace.
You look like a fucking monster. Take that face off your face. I'm talking to both of you.
Take that face off your face.
Yeah, name of the episode right now. It's a commentary. Yeah. I mean, it's good to hear that he finally says, he implies I'm going to go out in space and fight some crime and shit.
Yeah, as it turns out, I'm being banned from Earth.
It's like that fire is cool, but like, it's three-dimensional, so his chest is hollow now?
Yeah, it's bad. I told you it was bad.
She's like, take off your mask because you fucking look like a goddamn predator.
His hand looks weird too. I don't like
it. Yeah. He looks like he's wearing a condom on his hand, and that's like everybody's like, cool, buddy, condom. It's like, no, I mean, looks like he's wearing a condom on his hand. He's like, it's like kissing my brother because you both have thick beards.
Oh my god, shut up.
It's funny because his brother.
How many Back to the Future references are we going to make?
I'm going to miss your bland characterization.
Yeah. I'm going to miss your personality. I'm just kidding. See you later. Now that we're finally dating, like now that I've learned my lesson and I can finally date you from commitment, I'm going to fly away and never see you. Lesson learned, motherfucker.
We're committed now. I'm going to leave the solar system.
Yeah, the 65,000 themes in this movie. What one was cohesive enough to justify what's
happening? I hated the music.
Yeah, music's pretty bad.
And now I didn't even notice the music.
That's the bad thing.
And Jeffrey Rush says, like, wow, he was the greatest of us all of a sudden.
Yeah, I hated that, too.
And his humanity, like...
And then we had an architect. And then an angry football player. And then an artist.
Sometimes we said hate during this.
You know what? Like I said, I said that when the movie came out. I think I was the most positive person on the cast about it. I still kind of like this movie. Like I said, for the first time today, I watched it with someone who hated it, absolutely loathed it, and likes this kind of thing. Absolutely thought it was garbage, complete waste of time, said it sucked their ass, said it was dull. And I really was like, I asked them afterwards, I was like, I read all these reviews, read all these opinion pieces, and everybody just kind of regurgitated what everyone else said, and no one said anything. Why wasn't it any good? And they explained to me, they said, it's dull, the themes don't go anywhere, it's meaningless, and it does not give you what you want. And that's true. You know, it doesn't give, it's like a list. It ticks off a list of all the stuff it wants to see.
So wait, it took like 6 months to get a review that actually said what was wrong with it?
If you ask me, I can rip anything apart, you know, so I can think of a million things I didn't like about it, but I wanted to really talk to someone who wasn't just hating it as like a fanboy, you know, because.
Yeah, I mean, because if you look online when it first came out, we talked about it during our review that half of the people reviewing it were comparing it to Iron Man constantly, like, oh, it's not The Dark Knight, oh, it's not Iron Man. And
it almost seemed like everyone at first was copying the same first reviews of the people who pre-reviewed it.
Well, exactly what it is. That's exactly what fandom doesn't have an opinion of its own. And no offense to fandom, because obviously we're a part of fandom, but they don't have an opinion of their own. As soon as somebody says Batman Robin's the worst movie ever made, everybody thinks it's the worst movie. That movie made a shit ton of money when it came out. We all loved it. You know?
It was campy but fun.
And now, if you watch it, you realize the intention was to be like the '60s Batman TV show. So it's actually a great movie. But to this day, people are like, it's gay, it's stupid, and I hate it. But why? You don't actually have an opinion of your own. It's just this movie's like that, where people said it was going to be awesome, then when it came out, all of a sudden it was shit, and no one can tell you why. And this is like on the list of like one of the worst movies ever. And I'm like, it's certainly not one of the worst movies ever.
I don't care what anyone says. I had some fun watching it.
I think I enjoyed the extended cut because I liked the family thing at the beginning, but I don't like the obvious reiteration of it 10 minutes later. So I mean,
hidden from all the audience.
Now I believe obviously
everybody in the theater I was with was still there while waiting for this.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was because they thought it was a Marvel movie.
Obvious this was going to happen. Anyone who's ever read the comics would know.
I think it's just a matter of, and nobody's, and only about 150,000 people have actually read the comics, but somebody else made the point this movie is obviously made for fans and stuff, so I think that's definitely true. This is kind of superfluous. If you follow the actual story of the movie, this doesn't really make any sense. And it's why...
Especially after the final speech where you big him up so much, it's like, you just saw him do something fear couldn't, and plus, your best friend.
You know, you could make the assumption that takes place several months later.
Plus for me, I mean, they're going to have to. They're not going to make a sequel, but if they did make a sequel, that would have to be like 25 minutes into the movie, you know? Because for me, the justification for him using the ring again is going to be half the story of a sequel, you know?
Yeah.
So you're essentially skipping, again, doing what this movie did, skipping mm-hmm. over all the actual building elements of the story, plot, or characters, and just going straight to what you think people want to see. And you know, if you thought people wanted to see Sinestro with the ring in the first place, just make a fucking movie with Sinestro with the ring. I mean, there's a reason that Hal Jordan's every single time they make a Batman movie, Joker's in it. There's a reason every single time they make a Superman movie, Zod or Luthor in it, you know? Because some of these villains work for a reason, you know? A giant space face is cool, not the best Green Lantern villain, you know? Peter Sarsgaard with a testicle on his mouth, cool, not a Green Lantern villain that's going to sell me to a franchise, you know what I'm saying?
I love her. Tiffany Morgan plays Mom.
Clancy Brown.
Mom. Hey. Cop.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense when you think about it. If they set up the next movie, open up with whole Hal going to Sinestro Sector to see how he does things, only realize he's a fascist dictator.
They just said female. They just said female guardian on the credits. I'm not gonna saw that.
There were only two guardians that spoke.
I guess that's about it.
We still got all the credits.
What Carlton was saying. I said what was Carlton was saying. That's what Carlton was saying.
Whatever.
It's not the greatest movie in the world. It does feel like two conjoined movies like trying to battle out as to what it's trying to be. And to be honest, that's what really, you know, hinders the flow of the movie. There's too much information being dumped on you. There's too many characters not really, you know, having enough time to actually have any sorts of development happening. And, you know, and then the villains themselves were not at all interesting or may build up to be anything, you know, anything other than just to be the villains of the movie.
Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively had individual hairstylists and makeup artists. Everybody just had the same shitty ones, and they had their own.
I like how Ryan Reynolds is like, I'm going to give you the same pompadour they're giving everybody else because I'm going to rip the money. I'm going to rip the money and go.
Am I the only? I'm probably not, but I'm. I know I liked it more the second time around.
No,
everybody else feels that way.
No, I did not. I definitely disliked it. I fell asleep watching it through, and then I got up the next day to watch it again.
I've never fallen asleep watching this movie.
I've watched it. I watched
this
it a couple
times. This
is
actually
my
third time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my third time. But,
third time.
Yeah, I like it more when I watch it now than I did in the theater.
Yeah, sitting
assistant
through it all the way
to Mr. Reynolds. Trainer to Mr. Reynolds.
I still see all the same flaws that were in the movie.
Yeah, they're more pronounced.
And it just throws me off. Just like how dull. There is long stretch of time where many things aren't really happening. And there's just not enough actual character development to actually make you know, you know, to make you feel anything for most of these characters.
Yeah, and there's not enough action, honestly.
Yeah, the extended not enough action. That's true.
Well, they spent 5 minutes of Tomar talking to us. So.
No, I think even if there wasn't enough action, the Green Lantern stuff. I think it's all right. People would pay to see Ryan Reynolds in a drama? Okay, people would pay to see Ryan Reynolds in a romantic comedy. Fine, people would pay to see Ryan Reynolds in a movie about a fighter pilot who's trying to learn about who he is and having a woman made of wood tell him things made of wood. Fine, would people pay to see that? That's fine. The advertising in the movies, it's Green Lantern and stuff, and not to be like whatever, like a junkie, but like. You need to do what it says on the tin. You know, it's like you go see the remake of Footloose and there's 5 minutes of dancing in it. Why did I sit through an hour and a half of a movie of stupid teenage drama and, you know, religious arguments for 5 minutes of dancing? Like, I don't go to Step Up 3 to the streets to learn about what this girl's going to do with her future and if she's going to graduate college. I go up because they're going to step up to the streets. I see Green Lantern not to see endless scenes about ruminations on new age version of what they think fear means and stuff. I want to see fucking constructs smashing faces of giant space faces. You know, I mean, there's not enough of that. I mean, there's a sense of now that I have it on Blu-ray, I can watch the 20 minutes of this movie over and over and over. But however, I did that as soon as I put the DVD Blu-ray in there, and having have watched them twice in one day, I was like, you know what? The scene where he's fighting Kilowog is not as good as I thought it was. The scene where he's fighting Snatcher is not as good as I thought it was. The space face scene really does take about 3 or 4 minutes, and most of it's him flying away in an asteroid belt and stuff. So I think I dislike this movie more this time around and stuff. Yeah. I mean, I just it just looks really cool on Blu-ray, though. I do want to say that now that I have it at home and stuff. There's a lot of effects that are popping on the suits that I did not notice when I watched it. How much his suit crackles and shit when he's flying around. I mean, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I don't get what this is. Mark Strong just does Mark Strong.
I mean, that's where most of the money most of the money went there.
I know there's – you guys should tell me about it because, again, same thing. Mark Strong got a lot of accolades, and I think that might have just been PR spin to be like there must be something good about this movie. It's Mark Strong. I don't see Mark Strong doing anything here. He hasn't done every other movie you've ever seen Mark Strong in, you know, just play stick.
Does that make it bad?
It just doesn't make it anything to write home about.
No. I don't think he was overly impressive. I just think he was good. I mean, he was chosen to play
dark-voiced
bad guy. A dark-voiced guy with a
the
attitude. Voice. And that's what he did.
It's just in every movie, yeah.
See, the funny thing is that what they should have done was it was try to play up the fact that, you know, Sinestro was going to become his new Hal Jordan's mentor here.
I like this
up the fact that Sinestro...
I like this conflict better, I think.
But it should have been that these two would have been more vocal against each other, and yet there wasn't really any.
I do want to say really quick, if I can get it out of
there. The whole scene
there's now three Green Lantern movies, and this is the worst of the three, I think. That's fair to say across the
board. I think I like this more than your favorite.
Well, that's just crazy.
Extended cut.
There's credits for the next extended credits. That's funny.
So good for the kids and stuff.
Good for them. Oh, Reed Green Lantern, your local comic shop.
Yeah, remember the Reed Green Lantern comic books. Yeah, remember Green Lanterns. Distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures.
No. So, final thought.
Right.
That was on the Green Lantern movie. As we said, this is our, like, multiple time that we've seen the movie now. Our third or sixth or seventh time that we've seen the film. And our opinions of it remain mostly the same. You know, it's a comparable movie. It's not the greatest movie in the world. None of us are particularly inclined to saying it was fantastic. Say it again?
We had some fun.
But we had some fun. You know, calling out pompadours.
It's probably to do better for us to do better for us to do commentaries on movies where Blake Lively isn't it? Because that way Brandon can be reasonable.
You know, we could have
end the fucking show. Let's just end this damn show.
And that'll be all. That'll be all, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you'll be listening on to our other chats. Have a pleasant tomorrow.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @theGLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, performance of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, performance of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/Roy Clark Method.
I have this magic ring. It is the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me. It says, how? What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. And don't make us wait for too long. We'll be right back.
I'm editing everything Eric says out. There will be no bad talk about
it. I don't think you can't edit anything on this.
Anything about Blake Lively. Nothing about Blake Lively. You can't say anything about Blake Lively.
You can't. You can't edit anything. If you edit anything, you lose time.
No, I can silence people. And
then you're just going to have... If you silence at any point during me, you're just going to have silence for 20 minutes.
Seriously, of anyone, you can't silence Eric.
You can't. I won't allow it.
No, you can't because you talk so much.
I know that I've said everything I need to say. I got it out of my system. I don't actually listen to these shows.
Communicado.
It's time to send this back to Blockbuster.
You rented it?
No, I didn't.
It's a bad joke.
They still have those machines.